Hey, what's poppin', everybody? It's the Wednesday show with Prue and Mike. Mark, Brandon, and Carl is here from Who Are These Podcasts, as he is bi-weekly. Very interesting things going on at WATP. We'll get to that in a minute, but first, yesterday we talked to Josie.
Yes.
She's got the murder hornets in her backyard.
We're going to talk to her again today.
I was going to say, I hope we're talking to her again, because they have revealed that for all their work and the amazing shop vac they brought, sounds like they should have used her shop vac, actually. They did not get the queen hornet.
What a bitch.
They think she's...
You blew it!
They did. They blew it. They think she's still in the tree. And apparently nobody is safe until they get the queen. It's kind of like she's the Bin Laden of the murder hornets.
Slut.
I called her and I go, "Hi, Josie, it's the Drew and Mike show again." She goes, "Yeah." I go, "Well, we want to talk to you again today, get an update on the murder hornets." And she goes, "I don't have any update." I said, "Oh, well, we can give you the update."
Wait,
then.
She doesn't know?
She did not know until I broke the news to her.
Did she feel an update was in order at that point?
I don't know if I want to spoil it.
Okay.
But I was surprised the side she took.
What, she's on the murder hornet side?
Well, I was very anti-scientist shop vac side.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought she was providing too many excuses for them.
Well, she's very deeply involved in this. More deeply than most people.
I don't like flies.
Who just happened to be living in the house in front of the tree that has the murder hornets. She's retained so much information. I wonder if she has a photographic memory. I mean, she really is into this thing.
But you know, what if there's earning potential with this queen bee? Shouldn't her and her husband Max, shouldn't they be the benefactors of any money generated from the murder hornets?
Yes.
Frankly, you're going to get sued for calling her the queen bee. Beyonce's going to be all over you. It's her name.
Now, also, we've learned that. I don't know how they would know this. The bee that had the camera on it, the snitch bee, the snitch murder hornet.
Yeah, the narc.
They didn't get the snitch murder hornet. And not only that, it does not have the camera on it anymore. So I guess the queen murder hornet must have ripped the camera right off the snitch.
Or he's doing one of those cool things where you take it out and you just leave it there, like Umbrella Academy, and they took the things out of him and they just left it in the sewer, tracking it to the wrong place. But if that's the case, why would he do it where their nest is? Idiot.
Well, I'm really excited to talk to Josie.
Bumblebee Tuna?
I thought she was a great guest, too. She really knows her stuff.
Okay, the big question is, do you think she listened to the song Josie by Steely Dan after we made her aware of it?
That's a great question. I mean, it's really so inconsequential.
You
but
say no, Brandon. I say yes.
She seemed interested, but...
Do you know the answer?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I didn't ask her.
I think it'll say a lot about her when we find out.
Come on, if some rando called you and said and played the song Drew by a band you were vaguely aware of, you'd go listen to it.
Well, I think she seems like she knows classic rock a little bit. So, yeah. Well, we will certainly find out all these things and much more. And
the question is, will Drew be dancing to that song later today?
Swaying.
That's what I want to know.
He's a known dancer.
I might be
boogier.
Feeling the music, as Mike Clark put it.
No, you were boogieing.
I was not boogieing. There was no boogieing.
Totally
there was boogieing going on in my row, but it was not me.
You were boogieing. You were the least boogier, but no, you were definitely boogieing.
Somebody made a gif of it.
Clark nailed it when he said that you were feeling the music. At least admit you were feeling the music.
That fits your narrative. Oh, at the least, at the very least, you were feeling it, but you were boogieing.
I thought it was well stated.
Get this dance.
But right off the bat here, water is everywhere in your home, leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, under your dishwasher. And, you know, you hear me say this every day, but that time when you pull the dishwasher out and you see that rotting wood or that...
great feeling.
It's like, oh, God, oh, that's...
Gross! It's also fun tracking down where the water comes from.
That's another job. And
oh boy. And then there's 2 feet of water in the basement, and there's Emergency Response Services Incorporated, and that call that just puts an end to all of it, because they come out and take care of it, and they come out quickly, too, as somebody who called them at a very odd hour on an odd day. They dialed 877-JOB-DONE, and the job was done very shortly. Or you can go to 877-JOB-DONE.com, and if you got fire damage, storm damage, generally anything that's an emergency, you should call Emergency Response Services Incorporated at 877-JOB-DONE.
Water squirt emoji, water squirt emoji, water squirt emoji.
And then the Downtown Development Authority of Royal Oak is waiting on you to spend your 20 Royal Oak dollars. Just the last, well, it's not the last few. It's the last like $130,000 that could be spent in the next week or so, as that's terminating soon and you're probably getting notices. So spend your 20 bucks. Go down to Royal Oak and have a nice time. I don't know. What's the weather forecast the rest of the week?
Is it supposed to be any good? Cold.
It's cold as shit.
Is Michigan State going to be a cold day?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you worried about not going to that game?
No, I'm not.
You know, it's funny. I asked Sean Windsor this. I go, are you going to write a story about the end to the streak? He's like, what do you mean? I said, the attendance streak is over. They won't be playing in front of over 100,000 people.
Oh, as if they won't put an asterisk on that. Come on, are you kidding me?
Of course we will. We care. We have an attendance.
I don't remember 100,000 people at some games, by the way, during
the 22,000.
The Dave Brandon era.
I don't know. The count was accurate.
Okay. Okay, Trump.
Hey. Alternative facts.
Yeah, we're going to talk about alternative facts later.
That's right.
Because, anyway, Royal Oak. Go to Royal Oak. Spend your $20. Also, you can still use Lyft and get 10 bucks off and Lyft into town, have a few drinks, and Lyft yourself home. The code is G-O-2-R-O to go spend your Royal Oak bucks and have fun. And listen for details on some holiday activities involving the city of Royal Oak. Isn't that cool?
Jeez.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Did you hear about the Keith Raniere sentencing?
Oh, I want to hear what happened.
How many do you think he got?
I'm going to say 25 years.
So there's seven.
Oh, like prison food and penis.
25 years?
I'm just guessing.
Add another 95 to it. 120 Woo! Years in prison for sex trafficking. Seven counts of fraud, racketeering, wire fraud, forced labor. 120 years. And he had to face 15 accusers today telling him what a piece of shit he is.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
I don't know if it's on TV or not.
He made a collect call to someone yesterday. GMA had that at 7. Do you want to put that on? I think it's worth hearing.
I can find. Well, the NBC News, he did a full interview with NBC News. I think that's where GMA got
last
it
night?
From. Last week, Thursday.
Oh.
And the interview was actually with the guy in the Vow who keeps the blog, who really broke the news to the New York Times.
Really?
Who was in NXIVM. That's the guy that interviewed him with an NBC News.
Is it good? I mean, I would like to see one of them. I mean, the only thing I liked about GMA was they had the part where they go, collect call from Keith Raniere, calling from, you know, blah, 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 correctional facility. I mean, it just made me feel good.
Well, I'm disappointed that he didn't say Vanguard.
But if the NBC thing is really good.
I'll cue them both. We can get to them.
But I'll go back while Mark's queuing that up to alternative facts, because yesterday I was so blown away that the Washington Post was saying that Joe Biden did not gaffe or fumble when he said another 4 years of George and had this pursuit of the idea that he
four
was addressing.
4 years of George, he.
He's talking to George Lopez, the moderator, who the suggestion was that the person that tweeted it out, who's from the RNC, I believe, that he had removed the bottom of the Zoom, which had George Lopez on it, to confuse you into believing that Joe Biden was confused. Now, personally, I thought that was ridiculous. All you have to do is hear it. You don't have to see anything to know that what he's saying is total crap. I mean, either he thinks the United is the last 4 years of George Lopez's term, or he confused it with George Bush. I don't think either one is much better, and I don't think it's really that big a deal.
No, it's not. I mean, it's just a slip up. He just
he fucked up.
He said George because he's talking to George. Well, but the fact that they're defending it is
I don't know how they know that he meant George Lopez, by the way, because if you say the last 4 years of George Lopez, that is worse, I think, than saying George Bush, isn't it?
No, he meant to say Trump. He's got a stutter.
Anyone in front of him becomes
making fun of an old man's stutter. It's elder abuse.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden will say the last 4 years of, and then put anyone in front of him, he will say their name. In other words, if Manson was interviewing, say the last 4 years of Charles Manson.
It's a slip up.
No, it is a slip up. But why are they? Why is the Washington Post going crazy saying that he did not have a slip up? I mean, Brandon, you read it on the show yesterday. I almost thought, wait, is he reading this right? Because I just don't believe this. But didn't you think it was weird the way they were defending him?
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't just the Post. I also saw, you know, Yahoo and even Fox in one way, shape, or form. But
wait, Fox News is defending him?
Not necessarily defending him, but just kind of saying that there was a confusion for it. Basically, they're not saying that, he totally meant to say George Bush. They're just pretty much acknowledging that it was a slip. It was a stumble. We all have them.
Well, I'm surprised that Fox News would be that responsible, to be honest, but It was a stumble, and yeah,
they were very fair and balanced.
It makes him look kind of clueless and maybe like an old man, which is, you know, my mom used to say stuff like that all the time because she was 78 or 80 or 85 or 90. I just couldn't believe how
I do it now with my kids. I confuse them all the time.
Yeah,
my mom did that too. I just couldn't believe how important it was to the Washington Post to defend him on this. It's like, what are they, his attorney?
I got a new dog named Randy, and I still call him Bill.
Poor dog. No.
I know, everybody does it. It's not a big deal, but it wasn't a big deal that it was a gaffe. I mean, I don't know how you can say it wasn't a gaffe. And whether he's talking,
you're saying, lying dog face pony shoulders.
Why does George Lopez make it better than George Bush? I don't understand that.
It doesn't.
You know, this has gotten crazy. They have defended Biden before about dementia or suggestions, and they now repeat this mantra that how entirely unfair it is for someone who is not Joe Biden's doctor to say anything about his mental status or dementia, and furthermore, that there's no evidence of it anyway. But then, if you Google, as I did, Donald Trump dementia Washington Post, it's an entirely different story. And not only that, all of these publications were suggesting Donald Trump had dementia in 2017.
Not fair, not right.
It appears to be mostly in 2017. But I'm just really amazed. And the Hunter Biden story.
You are fake news.
The place I am is I can't believe the way this story is being covered. Now, I don't think it'll change any votes. I'm not sure it should change any votes.
I think it will, but not by much, but I think it will.
I'm still stunned at how it's covered. In fact, has anybody seen? I didn't mean to get into
this. There's a great new Hunter Biden story, but it's like you're not even allowed to laugh at it anymore because it just dissolves into a political argument.
Life can be so unfair.
I don't even know the news story. What is it?
You don't?
I don't know.
You didn't know that he got in a fight with his wife and had to disappear, and he fell. Was it falling off the wagon or getting back on the wagon? What's the saying?
Fall off the wagon?
Yeah, so he fell off the wagon.
That doesn't sound like a new story. I mean, didn't we know that
you're not getting all sober on us, are you?
He fell off the wagon all the time.
Let me find it real quick. Well, no, he's allegedly been, you know, sober.
Oh, you mean now? No, oh, this just happened. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'm all in.
So I'm going to present it. No political commentary because I can just hear people go, blah, 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 blah. Hunter Biden rented a $2,300 per night luxury Los Angeles mansion. Where did he get that money from?
Wait, $2,300 mansion? He has a $12,000 a month mansion.
I know. Well, where did he get that money from? Okay,
what's the what cost $2,300? Is this a hotel room or something?
Yeah, per night luxury.
Oh, okay. Okay,
he rented, like, I don't know. Is it
okay? So he had a special weekend with the wife. Airbnb, and he rents some fancy schmancy.
No, he rented it for a blowout party after storming out on his new wife and baby, facing a blazing row.
Wow. I believe it'll be a row.
Is it row?
I think so. In that case, yeah. If he was rowing a boat, it would be row. But if it's an argument, I think it's a row.
Row is not a word. Stop using it, British people. Okay, where's this at here?
Hang on. This is a cool story. I mean, this guy knows how to party. He really knows how to party.
During the pandemic, the 50-year-old Hunter Biden had been cooped up in his Hollywood homes with Melissa, who he married just 10 days after meeting her in May last year, and his fifth child, born in March, just weeks before the coronavirus lockdown.
Does that include the one that he was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The source claims Melissa and Hunter had a heated argument around a month ago, which resulted in Hunter storming off. They had been arguing. Oh, this is one of those sources, right? They've been arguing a lot, and they had this huge explosive argument about a month ago when Hunter stormed off. He vanished for a few days saying, I need some space. They're both very hot-headed, but this argument seemed worse than usual, and Melissa was left to care for their baby all by herself.
Oh, my God!
She did not know where he went.
Doesn't work, does she?
No.
Okay, so is it really that big a deal that she had to take
that
care
baby
of?
That baby's ugly.
Take care of the baby herself.
What's the longest you've ever taken care of a baby by yourself?
I don't. Single moms do it a lot.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
Well, I don't either. No, I'm not. I'm not
most
suggesting
of them work.
That it's not a big deal.
It's tough being a single mom. You know,
I think she has a lot of resources though, because Hunter.
Where did she get those resources?
Absolutely, Hunter rented out that fancy schmancy place, so clearly she can get help.
Yeah. When he came back, Hunter was a mess. He was in a bad place, and she was furious for him leaving.
Whose story is this, by the way?
Daily Mail. A second source told the Daily Mail that Hunter rented the mansion in the upscale Los Angeles neighborhood of the Pacific Palisades for a blowout, as well as booking a room at the Four Seasons of the city.
You know, I just have to stop you right here.
Yes.
Do you at the moment, do you kind of think the story's true?
Sure, why not? I just want it to be true.
Because it probably, I mean, there's a good chance it is, because we know he's so erratic. That's not in dispute, is it?
Do you want to call the Four Seasons and see if Hunter Biden...
Wait, where's the first blowout we could call there?
They don't say it's just a man. I'm assuming
it's an Airbnb
or something.
Okay. Can you believe that he would do this to his father right now? I mean, that is fucking insane that he would fall off the wagon and throw a big blowout party while his father is fighting all this bullshit.
Is it? I mean, he strikes me as being a very selfish person, so I'm not that surprised.
I mean, banging the sister-in-law, I think, was pretty good indication.
Where's that other part? Okay, a source close to Melissa said that when Hunter returned, they had another huge row, and Melissa threatened to take the child back to South Africa. She begged him to go.
She's from South Africa?
Yeah. She begged him to go to rehab and speak to their therapist.
You got to be a 90-day fiancé. Shouldn't he have been on there?
Yeah, I guess.
Awesome would that have been? They would have paid him.
Melissa was calling friends crying. She was very upset. She was reaching out for help because she didn't know what to do. She was saying how difficult it was being married to someone who has an addictive personality.
And he's a total asshole, too.
She believes it's not a matter of if with him, but a matter of when he falls off the wagon.
Oh. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well. Man. I wonder if we'll hear much more about this. I wonder who did. Daily Mail didn't break the story.
No, you will, because now there's more. There's audio being leaked now. And,
oh, really? You got some audio, Brandon?
Well, yeah. Every day there's something new that kind of comes off of this. You know, everybody's trying to prove child pornography things involving his own niece, and now there's this is apparently audio of him talking about China and some kind of a spy deal.
Let me hear the audio. I love actual audio. This is actual audio, allegedly.
I get calls from my father to tell me that the New York Times is calling, but my old partner, Eric, who literally has done me harm for I don't know how long, is the one taking the calls because my father will not stop sending the calls to Eric. I have another New York Times reporter calling about my representation of the, literally, Dr. Patrick Ko, the fucking spy chief of China, who started the company that my partner, who was worth $323 billion, founded, and is now missing. The richest man in the world is missing. He was my partner. He was missing since I last saw him in his $58 million apartment.
Nice partner.
I don't even know what this is.
What does that mean?
I seriously thought a drop was coming. I wasn't sure what it was though. I was thinking, what drops do we have?
That's
about
a bunch of malarkey.
I have no idea
what this audio is.
An old butt buddy, are you here, Neil?
No, where did that audio allegedly come from?
Let's see. The National Pulse. real news.
Oh, I'm sure it's some right wing. It's not Hunter Biden. It's Russian disinformation. They copied his voice with Adobe Celebiflare.
Maybe.
I mean, the National
Post. This whole thing is a mess.
What do you expect? Who doesn't talk about the Adobe Celebiflare?
Yeah. I know. It's terrible what they can do to people these days.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was interesting.
I don't know what any of that meant, but.
I kind of thought Hunter Biden was over. I mean, just for the time being.
Hunter Biden will never be over.
I think he'll come up again. For example.
Where's Hunter?
I hate even thinking about this, but let's just say the first couple years of the Biden administration, if there's a Biden administration, it seems like there will be. If the first 2 years don't go terribly well and the Republicans win the House, then they would perhaps be in a position to start something investigative.
Another one?
On Hunter Biden, yeah.
Fun.
Well, there's certainly more information now.
No more politics.
Unless that's not his laptop, but he won't tell us. In fact, I don't understand. It seems to me this is so simple. He, at the very minimum, would say, I've never been to that place in Delaware. I don't know what laptops those are.
He doesn't remember where he's been.
It's not that massive 9-inch dong is not mine.
That's why he won't.
I've got GPS on my phone that will show that I was not there the day that he made that receipt for me coming there. And that's not my signature either. That would be really easy. But he hasn't troubled him. Maybe because he's in this fight with his wife. And he's busy throwing blowouts.
I just can't wait until next week, the election's over. In 2 weeks, after the Civil War ends, we just get done with this shit.
That's when coronavirus is going to end.
Boners and farts.
I don't think we're going to be done with it.
No, of course not.
But I think the chances are that if the noise settles down, I'll be very happy.
You're right.
Well, I mean, without Trump, wouldn't it quiet down a little
bit? He's not going to disappear. I mean, he's still president until January 23rd-ish?
No one's going to give a shit about him if he's gone, though. If he's out of power, he's going to hold no office. He'll be back on television.
Yeah, he'll be making a lot of noise. Maybe it'll all be on Fox News. But anyway, by the way, the Wall Street Journal had an interesting piece. The headline was, Media Watchdogs Aren't Supposed to Guard Joe Biden. And they go on a lengthy, and Wall Street Journal is a pretty respected publication.
Yeah, absolutely.
They go on a lengthy diatribe about how the media is acting, in my opinion, I'll use the term, as Biden's defense attorney. They don't use that term exactly, but they point out that the biggest offender of all, and I couldn't agree more, is NPR, who has released a statement saying, we don't want to waste our time on stories that are not real stories, and we don't want to waste our viewers' and listeners' time on stories that are pure distraction. So NPR is saying, we are not covering the story, period.
Oh, the Hunter Biden story?
Yeah. That's amazing to me. Now, this is an entity, by the way, that is funded by the taxpayer dollars, which is intriguing, to say the least. I don't know why would they put out a statement. I think that's a big mistake.
Well, I think it came from what they were doing. They have to answer every question they get. So they have like an editorial or an ombudsman type column.
I still would never suggest that because this story is it's a live story. It's morphing into different shapes and forms. And to say you're just not going to bother with it is irresponsible.
They're not the only entity that hasn't touched it.
When's the last time you used the word ombudsman?
I don't know. I'm going to start using it more now.
Who else hasn't touched it?
I don't think the Free Press has. I don't think they've written about it.
It's funny. I hadn't even thought about that. But local news.
Has the Times technically written about it?
Yeah, New York Times has written to criticize the Post and to say that their newsroom was so against it and people don't want their names in the byline and basically saying it's not a story. That's all fake and that it's they have said it's disinformation. So I think they've covered it in their own way. But I really think the Washington Post topped everyone, and it has nothing to do with Hunter Biden. And I'll save that because it's just so much fun. Honestly, I was just completely stunned. And you handed me the Hall stuff, right?
I did, yes.
I got so excited I already lost it. Here it is. Okay. So it appears the whole world is going crazy, and I can't stop talking about it, not to mention our friends at Zodford and Holly, who've been crazy since back in the day when crazy meant something, to quote Charles Manson. Anthony Gabara and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County want to let the baby have his or her bottle. So here are a few of Zotford's craziest deals of the year. Lease a new loaded 2020 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive as low as $177 a month. Or get to Zot and lease the SUV everyone's talking about, the new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT four-wheel drive as low as $212 a month. But I may have to sue Zot because I think that's false advertising. That is not the SUV everyone is talking about. That would be the Bronco. And they are awaiting the highly anticipated Ford Bronco Sport in stock and ready for immediate delivery any day now. That's what people are talking about.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm suing Gabara for this. And the toughest truck on the road, a new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4 as low as $199 a month. And things are just crazy over there at Zot Ford and Holly. So so get out there or go to dealsinthed.com and check it all out. Be sure to check in with Anthony or Gabara if you make it out there or if you call.
And steak and potatoes may feed my body, but a Bronco feeds my soul.
Have you watched John Bronco yet?
I have not watched John Bronco yet.
Have you watched it yet, Brandon?
I haven't watched Borat yet.
Slow down.
Carl, have you watched Borat?
I have not. I got to get on that.
Have you watched John Bronco?
No.
It's good. It's funny. It's by the guys that did 7 Days in Hell, the Wimbledon movie.
And oh, that was funny as hell.
Tour de Pharmacy.
I need breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Because I got some breaking news. All right. This is real breaking news.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Hall Financial News Desk reporting that rates are at all-time lows. If your current mortgage is above 3.5, what are you waiting for? You could be saving money, and currently at Hall Financial, almost 70% of all loans don't require an appraisal. Call Hall Financial today if see if you qualify for a no-appraisal loan. If for some reason your loan does require an appraisal for the month of November only, Hall Financial is going to pay for it for you up to $500. Listen carefully to that. They're going to pay it for it for you up to $500. So don't complain. I'm just preemptively saying that. Believe it or not, closing times have sped up again. Right now, the majority of loans at Hall Financial are closing in 10 business days or fewer. Just go to our website and click on the Hall Financial link to get started. Fill out the online form. Boom! Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, and more personal attention. You can also call 248-308-5000 or go to davidhallmortgage.com/drewandmike.
That reminds me, Brandon.
NLS number 1467435.
Brandon, did you accidentally send your Hall Financial stuff to a listener?
Maybe.
Do you know?
That was really embarrassing. I sent.
Oh, boy. Did you know this story true?
No, I don't.
Yeah. So
why am I the last one
to
know a great story like this?
Phil sent me an email. And he's like, I'll just let Brandon explain. But
has he sent it to us? Has he sent the copy to us yet? Because I want to know. Phil can know all Brandon's personal financial information. And his wife's, Kristen's. I want to know. I think I'm entitled.
I'll see if I
can. Yeah, yeah. I meant to send it to Phil at Hall Financial, and I typed in PH, and I said, hey, how many Phils do I know? And I just clicked the first one, and it turned out to be some listener who probably sends in his farts or whatever, and now he's got all my financial history. And
he wrote, I got an interesting email this morning. There was a subject line along the lines of Hall Financial documents. I was a little confused about the email because of my personal situation, which I'll explain in a minute, and even more confused when I saw it was from one Brandon McAfee. I thought, wait, Brandon actually works for Hall Financial too? This guy's burning the midnight oil. Impressive. And on a suspended license, no less. Maybe the Hall Financial hotline is for emails now too. But this is where it gets really weird and why I had to double check the email. I just started a refinance with Hall yesterday afternoon.
Really?
So when I first saw the email subject and before I realized it was from Brandon, I thought, what the hell? How do they know how do they already have documents for me to sign? I just gave them my name and address yesterday. How fast is this process moving? So at that point, I really did think it was from Hall Financial for me, but somehow Brandon was involved. I thought maybe I mentioned the Drew and Mike show to them, and they have Brandon reach out as a partner. Amazing customer service. But after a quick glance, I realized it was a mistake. I'll let Brandon explain that part, though.
Yeah.
What happened?
I just meant to. There's just one thing that I had left to sign today, which I've already signed, so I'm done and complete. So he can't screw anything up. But I did send him. I just forwarded him and like, hey, what's going on? Where's this piece of paper I got to sign today? But and I sent it to two people. One of them, Natalie, who really helped me out there, and the other one was supposed to be Phil, the unicycle enthusiast that works at Hall Financial. Well, like I said, I just typed in PH and it came up one of our listeners, and I'm a moron, and I clicked his name and I sent over a bunch of stuff I shouldn't have sent over to him.
If I sound like I'm enjoying this, the reason is because I know that I'm fully capable of doing the exact same thing, but I didn't do it. So that's why it's kind of fun to know that somebody else can do something like this.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's okay, though. It's fine. I'm happy where I'm at, a 2.99 instead of a 4.75.
That's right.
So
you're the smart guy.
I don't care if Phil knows that.
In the
end, I want to tell the whole world.
Brandon won the conversation in the end with his 2.99.
That's right.
Do you mind if I send this to David Hall?
No, absolutely.
I thought he might get a kick out of it because the guy, Philip, is refinancing too, right?
Yeah.
Great. This is awesome. Philip is also refinancing.
Oh, you're sending it right now?
I guess,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. Riveting.
All right. So anyway, Carl, every 2 weeks, Carl turns up on the Wednesday show to talk about who are these podcasts, his podcast, but more about podcasts in general, what's going on, new ones to listen to, and quite a few not to listen to. And Sunday, for some reason, Carl selected a show that my nephew is on take the meat cleaver to. Man, oh man. Free beer and hot wings?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing Jacktober in the month of October, so we're reviewing only podcasts that are also radio shows or ex-radio DJs. And this past week, we did the Free Beer and Hot Wings show. That was a fun one.
I think their name lends them to this sort of a thing.
My first question is, and you pointed it out on your show, they charge for their podcast even though it's free?
Yeah. Yeah, for $5.95 a month, you become a fancy idiot, and then you can listen to their shows, or you can just Google the name of their show, and it's one of the first results on Google.
Carl, when did you get an investigative arm to who are these podcasts? I mean, what the hell is going on? Are you trying to bankrupt my nephew? Jesus.
My bad.
Now, did you mention their extraordinary ratings in Grand Rapids? They've been the number one morning show there for only forever.
I mentioned that they're syndicated in 30 markets and very successful. Yes,
so
of course.
Yeah, they're doing something very well. I just want to point that out.
I wanted to point out that they laugh at everything everyone says on the show, and I got to give you guys so much credit. Last week, I think Trudy threw something out there, and you guys gave her nothing, and Drew was like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? I was like, this is the difference between a good show and a hacky morning zoo-style show. So I've got to kiss your ass a little bit on this one.
It hurts.
Well, kiss my ass by not calling them a hacky show, please.
No, I mean, they're great, too. Everyone's great.
everyone's great.
Somebody called us a hacky show. Wait, let me see if I can find it.
Uh-oh, what?
Yeah, there's been, you know, I asked people a short time ago, I went through the routine that I never go through, and people always say, why don't you mention, you know, the Facebook page? Why don't you mention getting people to review the show? So I did. I said, please review us on Facebook. I can't get to our reviews, by the way. I don't know why. Good. On the Facebook page. I can't find them. They're really good. They're 5 stars, all of them. But we do appreciate you rating us, and somebody will show me how to get there, I'm sure. But please rate us on Facebook. Please rate us on iTunes. Please rate us on Stitcher, Spotify, any of those platforms. It helps us. And Stitcher, we were in the top 100 on Stitcher last week.
All right.
That's never, ever, ever, ever happened. So those of you who aren't Stitcher.
I'm non-braggadocious.
There must be quite a few of you. Thank you for being on Stitcher, well, for listening at all. And also, if you wouldn't mind putting in a review, that is also very nice because those are separate from iTunes. But
so who called this a hack?
That's
what I want to know.
I know. That's.
And remember, if you do review Carl's show, you have to review it 5 stars, but you got to talk shit in the comments. You can't just give it 5 stars and say you like it.
And then we read them on the show. It's a lot of fun. Also, you mentioned going to Facebook for a review.
Yeah.
When you put reviews on iTunes and Spotify and other places like that, it actually helps your rankings. Reviews is one of the big signals that they give for rankings. So please review the Drew and Mike show because those reviews help you guys climb up the charts.
Well, I've heard mixed on that. I've heard people say that's true. I've heard people say it's absolutely not true. But the fact of the matter is when I go to a show and I see that they've got 11 ratings, it's a pretty good sign that that show is not getting a lot of audience.
Yeah.
So, you know, to go to our show on iTunes, for example, and find out that we have 5,158 reviews. That's pretty good. That's very respectable. So
good luck with your podcast.
Let's see. I got to bring up all our reviews. My favorite podcast. Thanks for laughs, guys. And Trudy. Thank you, Maggie. Best ever. Best show and awesome content. Keep it stiff. Okay show.
Okay show.
Larry, you gave us 5 stars.
Can't wait for the election to be over so we'll stop. Stop talking politics.
What? Well, 2 stars? Yeah. Well, I guess a better 1 star.
Old entitled white man yells at the ever progressing world from the safety of his basement. Hard pass.
Maybe too that much also.
We got a 5-star review right there, Drew.
I love yelling at the ever progressing world.
That's really funny.
From the safety. I feel so safe right now in my basement.
Hard pass.
Jeez. What did they just find the show? I mean, I didn't know that many people just found us. It's like he just came over. I wonder what this is.
Old and tired white man yells at the ever-progressing world from the safety of his basement. Hard pass.
Nice to see you again, Mr. Insult.
It's the most interesting review since cobbling together a living.
Oh, from Mrs. Steve Dahl?
Yeah. Cobbling.
Oh, I'm starting to think that if we reviewed your guy's show, you wouldn't be able to handle it very well.
Well, I like bringing up the negativity because it's, I think it makes for good content. I can honestly say this. I've never heard a show talk about something shitty written about them and not been interested in it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've heard that. I've heard other people do that.
Misery loves company.
I think most people generally will not read negative reviews or anything negative said about the show because it's harms their safe space.
Shit, you should listen to the Boner Line.
It's therapeutic for me. I have listened. I listen to what you put out. It's not always very pleasant.
Is there? Does that mean there's a new one today? It's been a while.
It's probably tomorrow. I forgot to mix it down.
Here's all love. I love the laughs and great content. This show makes my day every day. The old Mike Clark bits make me laugh so hard. Thank you. Here's a 5-star review. I don't know why, but they've decided to say something negative within the 5-star review, and the title is Mr. Japanese Says Hello.
Lose the Andy Dick bit. It's cringy and kowtowy and adds nothing, and it's clearly a burden for him to be bothered. Bad radio.
When's the last time we had Andy Dick on? Is this Thomas Fiorini again?
Had to be March because we notified him about COVID.
That's like 7 months ago.
Yeah. Jesus. Maybe he's behind. He's behind on the show.
I thought I was listening to Rush Limbaugh. Jesus, thank God for Fast Forward.
Rush Limbaugh. Now, I know you don't listen to Rush Limbaugh. If you thought you were listening to Rush Limbaugh, you don't listen to Rush Limbaugh. You listened to Rush Limbaugh the other day.
I do. Yeah, I did on the way here because my radio stuck on AM 760 because they have the Lions. And that meant when I got in the car yesterday, I heard a great call on the Mark Levin show from Rachel at 945. I need to find it. It was totally a normal call.
About?
Nothing weird. Oh, about the election.
I see.
She made lots of sense.
Here's love the show, loving parts of the old show back and the ability to listen when it's convenient. Missing Mike's detailed personal accounts of his self-inflicted dilemmas. Oh, that's why we are having Mike Clark.
You are
Clark
so generous. Thank you.
A great podcast. I never miss it. I never miss the Monday through Friday Drew and Mike Show podcast, at least 2 hours per day, full of topical commentary, humor, classic audio drops, and legendary Drew and Mike radio show, and so much more. Thank you, Jeff. Highlight of my day. This is the highlight of my day, reading this. Now that I'm stuck living in awful California, this podcast is my little piece of home. That said, you don't need to be from Michigan to enjoy it. I laugh out loud daily. Drew's hilarious, but his common sense take on all issues from sports to politics to music to pop culture is spot on. Drew, Mike, Trudy, and Brandon do a great job. Rock on. That's best podcast. 5 more stars. Old lovers. It's sad to hear Brandon, the gopher of the podcast and the guy that cleans all the toilets of the Red Shovel Network, is going to Google University and getting a degree. Congratulations. Is Brandon going to Google University? Was that discussed? I don't know. I'm lost about that.
Well, I hope they don't hear about his email failure. Whew.
The best, literally the best part of my day. I notice I'm getting a lot of reviews in before I get to the 80s. The hackneyed.
Maybe do that much also.
I'd like to see you play a concert. Oh my God, today's show was hilarious. That's a 9-4. I'm going to have to look at 9-4 and find out what was so fantastic.
Podcast challenge.
5 stars. My 19-year-old listens to the show regularly, yet he teases me for my 25-year loyalty. I challenged him to find a podcast that he could listen to daily and enjoy more. That didn't work out so well. For him. Pretty good. You're doing awesome. 5 stars. Love the podcast. You guys are the best. Listen every day.
This is getting boring. Let's hear the 1 star.
Yeah.
I want to hear about who sucks.
Oh, here we go.
prank phone calls to people just trying to do their jobs and live their lives. When the person doesn't entertain their clever questions and hangs up, the crew laughs hysterically. Almost as good as outstanding fake voices they read articles in. What? 5 stars. Sincerely. 1980s Morning Zoo Radio.
There it is. Well,
if the shoe fits.
You know something? You suck.
1980s Zoo Radio. 1 star. Long-time listener, first-time complainer. Cobbling together a podcast? More like beating a dead horse. Grandpa Drew needs to abandon ship instead of letting his legacy be dragged through the mud to the finish line.
What?
Beating a dead horse? You guys talk about whatever's topical every single day. What does that even mean? Grandpa.
My legacy is being dragged to the finish line.
I know you pretty well. If there's one thing you really are concerned about, it's your legacy.
Right.
I can't believe people say that about themselves.
This is important to my legacy.
I think I am actually humble. I think I'm much more humble than you would understand.
Okay, so we'll leave that on that shitty note.
It's just one shitty note.
Dragged through the mud.
If anyone's destroying their legacy, it's Howard Stern. But let's be clear on that.
A lot of people agree with that, man.
That's interesting because I always think people are being dramatic. It is leap year, and people leap to the most incredible conclusions.
I love how you're destroying your legacy while at the same time doing a 1980s morning zoo show. So you either have evolved or you haven't evolved.
That was a longtime listener, too. So they listened to that hackneyed 1980s zoo show and liked
it. Well, they grew up, and we haven't.
Well, they didn't grow up in the 90s or the aughts.
Tell them to check out free beer and hot wings and then come back. See what they think.
I can't believe the imaging on that show. That was driving me nuts listening to Who Are These Podcasts.
I admit that. I think I would tell them not to do that. But
it made – I mean, Carl, you hit the nail on the head. And you go download Carl's podcast to hear it because the imaging is
– Oh, come on. Let's not encourage people to hear Carl's critique of the show my nephew is on.
They like Joe. They thought Joe was great.
Well, what – I know. I just don't want to be blamed. My connection to Carl is going to get me blamed. It is leap year.
Does Joe do the imaging?
I don't think so.
Okay, fuck it. Fuck the imaging. Because it's terrible.
The imaging is so stupid.
Honestly, I bet you that imaging isn't even their idea. It's probably their production director who's sitting in a room all day, and that's the first thing he heard with laughter on
probably
it.
Probably
so
not.
In a donut, yeah.
I suspect there may be inside jokes in the show that we don't get.
But
that might explain some of the imaging.
Just saying. That could be a problem.
Just saying. Anyway, moving along.
Jeez.
Where was I before we got to hackneyed?
We got defensive.
Well, I don't
know. Oh, God.
Carl's here.
Oh, yeah. Carl's here. Carl. Right.
Carl, you don't have anything to do today, do you?
No, it's fine.
Carl, so now there's been a multitude of things to potentially discuss. The Kirstie Alley podcast, I didn't listen to it, but you said it was absolutely not something to go over. Why do you say that? Was she pretty good?
She was actually pretty good. She came on. I didn't realize this about Kirstie Alley, but she is a Trump supporter.
Yes.
And she's, you know, obviously in the acting community. So she put out a tweet that just said, I voted for Trump because he's not a politician and I'm going to do it again. And she got blasted by every famous actor in Hollywood for it. So she just came on and kind of gave her side of it, and it was compelling and interesting. And I'm like, I can't really goof on this. It wasn't that bad.
I've seen her on a lot of shows, and generally she comes across as a fairly likable person. I think she's humble. I mean, she did gain a lot of weight.
It's because she got rid of all those thetans.
She joked about herself. And she used to be, I mean, back on the, who was it? Judd Apatow had to say, can't hold a candle to Shelley Long.
Oh, yeah. Right.
When she tweeted the Trump thing, it was like, she was very good on the show. She was really cute, and I thought she did a lot for that show.
The vitriol at that tweet got so bad. Do you know who Kristen Johnston is? Does anybody know who that is from Third Rock from the Sun?
Yeah, I remember her.
She had to come out and say, I am not Kirstie Alley. So many people were tweeting at her and negative shit. She's like, that's not me.
Oh, okay.
Where's Kristen Johnston even been?
How stupid.
I don't know. I don't know what she's done since Third Rock from the Sun.
Why is everyone paying attention to Kirstie Alley's tweets, though? It's almost as if, like, the blue check marks all get a note from someone that says, we got to go after this person. They're saying the wrong thing. Well,
isn't it incredible that anyone of any note who says something about Trump, no one can hold back. Everyone has to. It's like you haven't done your job if you haven't completely destroyed them as a human being in some sort of form of retweet. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I think a lot of these people who do that probably tweet a lot of nice things out about Joe Biden. And I don't think every single person on the other side has to tell them why they're so fucked. I mean, isn't it just a dumb exercise? I mean, what a dumb world we are in right now.
And when you're being told over and over again by every famous celebrity what to do and how to do it, don't you get people who just want to rebel against that?
Sure.
I used to smoke cigarettes when I was a kid because every commercial was cigarettes are bad for you. I'm like, okay, fuck you. I'm going to go smoke some cigarettes then. kind of works to reverse sometimes.
I think Hollywood is not an asset to the Democratic Party.
Right.
I really don't.
Well, their money is.
Their money is, but does their money really overcome their annoyingness?
Oh, that's a great question.
I'm not sure it does. I mean, really, I don't like hearing them lecture me about anything, and I think that's the problem with the NFL and the NBA is that, you know, you got 23, 24-year-old guys making a shit ton of money for a skill they're pretty much born with. I mean, not to say that they don't deserve some credit, but the fans are not making the kind of living that those very young guys are. And I think they don't like being lectured and told, hey, you fuck ups, look at what you're doing. This is your fault and you're all part of it and you're complicit. And I think I just don't think that feels good for a fan / customer.
Have you seen those NFL commercials where they tell you have to have a plan to vote? They're kind of talking down to people. They must think that every person who watches football is a moron because voting is not that difficult. Guys, do you have a plan? Do you have a plan in place? Like, yeah, I'm going to drive to the polling station and vote. It's not that difficult. That's my plan.
Yeah, I really don't think it's that difficult. And can people stop telling us to vote? If you haven't heard that you should vote by now, are you really in touch at all? But they did change the end zone, said end racism.
Yeah, now it says vote. I didn't even notice that until watching the Lions game.
I didn't notice it either. Did they announce that they were changing that?
If they did, I didn't see it.
Interesting. Yeah, I think maybe they were hoping that we'd not notice and forget. I wonder if they maybe didn't get a lot of support for that. I mean, it is kind of a tricky message. End racism.
There's
not a lot you can do when you're sitting there watching a football game and somebody scores.
It's an easy message to segue into away from it, to vote.
Yes, that's true. I wonder what the next message will be. Will they return to end racism? I predict they won't.
Wear a mask, and then it'll be get your vaccine, and then it'll be blank.
What if they said
it'll be duck and cover?
What if the NFL turned into anti-vaxxers and said, don't get your vaccine! It's not safe!
Bill Gates wants to control you. That's what the end zone will say.
That would be amazing.
If you want a microchip, get your vaccine.
And then Gates will buy the whole NFL just to get rid of it.
Well, anyway, so we did, there was the Dead and Gone podcast, which sounds really good. And I want to give it another try about Grateful Dead fans who've been murdered over the years because they are very open to predation by the fact that this community, they're so accepting of people they don't know. They will crash at unknown, you know, deadhead types houses when they go to concert. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. They hitchhike a lot. In fact, we used to read this thing on the air about, I think it was like a Rides and Riders things for deadhead shows.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And people would say, I need a miracle. I'm in Boston, and I really want to go down and see the show in Charlotte. Who's going down to Charlotte? And then you'd get a response like, well, I've got a place in Charlotte if you want to crash on my couch. And I mean, it was just insane, the trust going on there. So I'm not surprised by that. But Carl's not going to go with either of those podcasts. But you did run into something we've been trying to listen to for a while, which is the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell podcast. They are the ones who killed their spouses, allegedly, killed her kids, allegedly, who were found on his property under cement, underground. And I mean, for the life of me, I couldn't believe it took as long as it did to arrest both of them. But what did you run into? And is this where you want to start, Carl?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you guys have talked about this a lot, so I thought it'd be good for the listeners.
For sure.
Lori Vallow is the mother of two children who went missing. And while people were looking for her children, she was with her new husband in Hawaii, getting married and having a nice little vacation for themselves.
So happy for
them. By NBC.
What is the name? Is their podcast still out there? Like, where did you find it at?
It's impossible to find. They have a show with Chad Daybell, her husband, called Preparing a People. That has been wiped clean from the internet.
Really?
So what I have for you is a show called Time to Warrior Up. And this is Lori's very first podcast appearance.
Oh, wow.
And it's interesting. She's on with this guy named Jason Mao. And Jason Mao is one of these preacher guys. And, you know, these guys are all Mormons and they're really into Jesus. They think the end of times is coming. They think Jesus is coming back any moment now. And they're all preparing for this.
Well, July 22nd. It was the any moment now, but that is past. As I'm sorry to tell Chad, Lori.
Jesus Christ, yo!
It's funny how the end of days thing never comes to fruition. It's amazing how that works.
I know you shouldn't set a date. That's the dumbest thing.
No, you gotta have a date though. Just say you messed up the year.
Okay.
I thought it was very ironic the way they introduce Lori Vallow on this show, track one.
And real quick, Lori. Let's talk about that before we start, because people don't even know who you are.
Oh, no, we do. Actually, the only reason why I wasn't listening to the show anymore is because Lori Vallow's on there.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, Mr. Preacher Man.
So if you play my track two, the guy Jason explains when he first met Lori and how he knew that she was one of them and how important she was.
Oh, God, this is going to be great.
When I looked into your eyes for the first time, and really saw who you were inside, I instantly knew you're one of us. You're a gatherer. You know, you get it. You understand that this is the end times, and you are awake. You are prepared. You are moving in that direction.
What a bunch of bullshit.
Wow. So they call themselves gatherers. And I just want to ask Jason, do you want to retract that statement? You want to maybe say that you don't have superpowers? You can just look into somebody's eyes one time and know everything about their character? It's possible. Well,
He missed the murderer part. That's pretty big. Right.
He just looked beyond that in her eyes. I wonder, that guy, come on, he doesn't believe this shit, right? Is this all an act to fit his preaching? But, you know, she believed it.
Do they have advertisers, Carl?
Yeah, no, State Farm. Not an advertiser. What? State Farm doesn't advertise there? They're on every podcast.
Well, what they do is they have these podcasts out there, and then they promote these events that they have. So they have Preparing a People events that are day-long events that I'm sure cost a fortune to go to.
And they sell shit there, too. Don't they sell shit?
Yeah, end of time stuff. They'll write books and sell books.
There you go.
I got to say, knowing what happened with Lori and Chad and their spouses and their kids, doesn't this seem like all this end times talk is probably bad? It kind of makes it seem like you really don't have anything to lose because the world's coming to an end anyway. Exactly. So just do whatever you want.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't kill their children and spouse, find some other guy and go to Hawaii if they knew the end of the world is coming?
Right.
Isn't that the dream?
Yeah. I guess it's an option.
Really?
Okay. That might be part of the problem.
I don't know if you want to, if you're that godly, I don't know if you want to kill people before the end of the times.
It's Maui time.
Yeah, that's not good PR for the group. But anyway, continue, Carl.
So this podcast episode is mostly about Jason and how he discovered God and Jesus. Ugh. So there isn't a ton of stuff from Lori herself. But this next clip, number three, is very interesting because this was recorded on November 26, 2018. And Lori's husband at the time, Charles Vallow, was killed by Lori's brother 8 months later, and then her two kids went missing, and we found out they were buried at Chad's place just 2 months after that.
And it's agency, right? So, and it's our own individual selves. So you really can't decide for your husband or wife. You really can't decide for your parents or your kids. Each person came down here to exercise their agency and to overcome those obstacles. And we all wanted to do it. I feel like we all had that desire to come here to get over that obstacle to get to where Christ is.
So it sounds like she can decide for her spouse and her kids. They're not finding Jesus quick enough, so she's going to get them to Jesus a lot quicker than they were planning on.
Wow. I'd like to point out the silver lining. She has a pretty good voice for doing a podcast. It's not like Sophia not with an F. You know, there's no vocal fry in
that's
there.
That's true. Carl, did you hear Sophia with an F, by the way, is getting horrendous reviews and she's dropping in the charts?
Oh, is she really? Yeah, that does not surprise me at all.
And Alex, the other girl, she was number one for a while. She's more in the 4 to 6 zone now. I detect a reuniting of these two, and it'll probably be, it may be too late for them, but boy, did they blow it.
Wow, you heard it here first. That is a prediction.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, I give Alex a chance because she's on Barstool.
Yeah.
But I think Sophia with an F is done. Dunzo. We'll see. I think she'll pass us. I don't think it'll be too long either. Just saying. Anyway, continue.
I'm going to say they will not reunite because if I know women, they can hold a grudge forever and they are pissed at each other. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's no way with any amount of money.
I don't know. See. Money can be a pretty strong draw too, though.
To women too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at Steve Bing. they say he's hot. $600 million makes him hot. Money can be very powerful. I cannot believe how many emails I've gotten from women, by the way, saying he is not hot. Not one saying he is.
I was thinking about. Bing. Is there anybody that is he? I'm trying to think of a. He's kind of like the Kansas City Royals of dating. Like, he's got an amazing team photo with not much resources. I mean, is there another?
He's got $600 million.
Well, but his look. Resources.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Is there another person that has as good of a team photo that doesn't look that great?
That's a great question. I would start with Picasso.
Oh, he got a lot.
He had a lot of really nice ass, and he was awful looking.
He was artsy,
but he had money.
You don't know how hot those chicks were, though, Drew. Who knows?
Well, I don't know. Let's see.
Huge bush.
Is he in Who Dated Who? Is Picasso in there?
Who dated who?
What about Adam Duritz?
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Counting Crows.
Yeah. Amazing pussy. Amazing.
I would two out of the three friends. Jeter, though. His list is unbelievable.
But he's handsome.
Kind of handsome in a sense.
That's what I mean. So Bing was pulling that off without any of that.
Yeah, there's got to be more that we're just not thinking.
Yeah, I think Bing is less hot than Adam Duritz. And Adam Duritz is the lead singer of the Counting Crows. Just saying. I mean, two of the three friends, though. Has anyone gotten the hat trick with the friends girls?
I don't know. Kudrow's a tough one to get.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Conan had her.
Oh, I can find that out.
I don't know if Conan nailed the other two.
I think Kudrow's hot, too. Ooh, wow.
Really? I think she's the empty net goal of the hat trick, but all right.
I don't think so. I think she's pretty. Jeez.
More of like the deflection. call it the garbage goal.
I just want to put it out there. If anybody has Preparing a People, the Chad Daybell podcast, if you can find it, please send it to me. I am dying to hear the show and to pull clips from it. I looked everywhere and I could not find it. So please, if you have it, let me know.
Okay. So moving along, I guess that's our last cut from the show. Where are we going now, Carl?
So I had to check out a brand new podcast that just came out called Dumpster Fire. And this is a show starring Billy McFarland.
Oh, boy.
You remember Billy from the Fire Festival.
Yeah.
So does he have a podcast? He's in jail.
Right. He is. He's in federal prison right now in Ohio.
What?
I had no idea that he had a podcast.
Oh. Now, why is that okay? Why is that just, he's got a podcast. He's a great guy. Does he have advertisers, Carl?
State Farm.
Guess what? It's not okay. The reason why I had to play this is because he does a show with Jordan Harbinger where he calls in from the prison. And apparently, according to his attorneys, they told the New York Times that he's been placed in solitary confinement just for doing the podcast. He has 90 days of solitary confinement.
Oh, boy.
A year ago today, I was in the midst of a 3-month stint in solitary confinement. And there's a lot to talk about from that time. But overall, it was definitely the hardest but most impactful period of my life.
Impactful.
I'm just laughing because I'm so stupid. I thought that he wouldn't be on a phone and maybe had a mic and sounded more.
Like a real podcast.
What were you going to say, Carl?
What's crazy there, Mark, with that clip you just played, is that he's talking about how he used to be in solitary confinement, and that was because he was caught with a flash drive. So he got 90 days back then. No, solitary confinement is 23 hours a day for 90 days straight. That is torture.
But it was impactful, he said, so maybe it'll have more impact this time.
What's great about it, Drew, is that he developed a plan while he was in solitary confinement and how to pay back all the people that he wronged.
And it's so
funny because now you have all this time to just sit there and think with your thoughts. He developed a plan, and track 7, he'll talk about it.
So I own 50% of the Dumpster Fire podcast, and my entire stake will be given to restitution.
Got it. Okay. $26 million is a lot of money. I mean, most people work their whole lives and never even get close to that. So I know from personal experience, podcasting can be a great living, but it's going to be a stretch to hit $26 million. Do you have other ideas for how you might go about restitution?
I think the first thing I need to do is take responsibility for all.
Hey, that doesn't pay people back.
Yeah, I know. The guy asked, Jordan asked a great question. He goes, you'll never make $26 million on 50% of a podcast. What's your plan B? And he goes, I don't have one. That was my only plan I had was having a podcast.
I love that he called him out for that because that's ridiculous. It's like, I will give all the profits from my share of this podcast. What? Come on, really? How many podcasts make $26 million ever?
Right, and Jordan probably makes a couple million dollars a year on his podcast. He's probably one of the top earners there is, so he understands how difficult that is. Plus, not for nothing, Billy, but you haven't been in the news for a little while. You're not a hot story right now. I don't know how many people are going to be excited about this podcast.
Wait, was this supposed to be a multi-part podcast, or was he just appearing on this guy's podcast?
No, this is his show, Dumpster Fire, with a Y, and it's supposed to be an ongoing show, and this was just the first episode of it.
Okay, and who's the host?
Jordan Harbinger. Do you know who that is?
I do not. I was going to ask.
So he actually had a radio show. He had a podcast going way back. Sirius XM picked it up. He was on Sirius and XM at the same time on a Friday night show. And he did an advice show for a while. He's an attorney and he's had a number of iterations over the years, but now it's just the Jordan Harbinger show. He's on Adam Carolla all the time. He's got a really big following.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Is Dumpster Fire part of one of the a network? Is it part of Podcast One or anything like that?
It's not, but it is part of a network. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. It was nothing I ever heard of before.
But it's pretty much going to be one episode, right?
Well, it seems
or
that
one
way.
Every 3 months.
They set it up that this is just part one, and he's going to be telling his story, but now he's in solitary confinement for doing this. So
well,
I don't
they'll
know.
Be releasing a new episode every 3 months.
Yeah.
When he gets out of solitary.
It takes another 90 impactful days, and then he comes back with another idea.
Isn't it funny that his idea that came out of solitary confinement got him thrown right back into it again? Like, that was a really bad idea.
I have a feeling he gets 50% because they probably brought this up and he demanded to be paid because that's just the Billy McFarlane way. And they're like, oh, we'll give you half the profits. And he probably thought, oh, that'll pay off my $26 million.
I have a question for you guys. And I know that the Fyre Festival documentaries, we all watched them, but it was a little while back. Do you guys know why Billy McFarlane is in jail right now?
Specifically?
A fraud.
Fraud, yeah.
Okay. Very good. You got that correct. He thinks, Billy thinks, and everyone thinks he's in jail because he didn't throw a very good festival. So he's got this prepared statement that he really wants to get out. And my track 10 is him explaining this over and over again.
He didn't even throw a festival.
Even if the Fyre Festival was the success and everything that I believed or I hoped, is probably a better word, that it was going to be, came true, I'd still be in jail. I was still guilty. And what I did was I lied to my investors. I was guilty and would be in jail and should be in jail, even if the festival was a success, I was still wrong, and that needs to be addressed and needs to be fixed, and I was still guilty and I would still be in jail. What I did was inflate our company's numbers, how much money we had, how much money we were making. So I think the first thing that needs to be said is I was guilty. I was guilty and should be in jail. I failed at building the festival, but I'm not in jail for failing to build a festival. I'm in jail for lying about our company's numbers. There's a big, I think, misconception that I'm in jail for the Fyre Festival, and that's not true. If the Fyre Festival succeeded, I still should have gone to jail.
He's really splitting hairs.
I mean, one episode, he has to say that 16 times.
Why is he bringing up
fraud? Yes,
but why is he bringing up what a failure it was? Because it wasn't successful, so it really doesn't matter.
Which is why he couldn't pay the investors back.
Oh my God! I don't know if he could have paid them back anyway.
Well, that's his point.
Guess what the biggest mistake he made was? Track 9.
I kind of want to guess what it might be.
Go for it.
Do you have any guesses what he thinks his biggest mistake is?
Not giving himself enough time.
That's a good one. I was thinking maybe thinking too big. Like going too big.
Let's find out.
I don't know.
I think the biggest wrong decision I made, on top of all the illegal stuff, which by far is the worst, was... Yeah. Trying to improve the festival site and sending people away from it for the whole day and then having them arrive at night, and just couldn't handle that when they all arrived at the same time.
The biggest mistake I made, you know, besides all the fraud, you know, I stole tens of millions of dollars that I was never going to pay back. Besides that, the biggest mistake I made, it's not that no band showed up and we didn't even have a festival. It's that I didn't let people go right to the campground.
They didn't even have a campground, though, if you remember.
There were no bands coming at that point.
Oh, I know.
So because it was at night, it'd be, I don't know, I guess maybe they could see.
Yeah.
Hey, what an asshole.
Was he even there when that was being done? Because all those people scattered.
He was, and then they all scattered to that one house, and he cried.
Oh, okay.
That was the best part about the festival for anyone who went there, is that they all went and got drunk on tequila when their plane landed. Like, that's the thing that you think you did wrong? That was the only good thing that you did. At least people had one good day.
That's true.
Well, this was pretty good from the documentary, too.
If you will go down and suck Cunningham's dick, who's the head of customs, you will save this festival.
So that was not a big mistake.
It's all Andy King's fault.
Save the festival. Oh, please.
So I have one more thing to play from this podcast, because as you guys might be aware, Billy's going to have a hard time getting people to trust him in the future, since
he's lied
to everyone all the time. So he's quite concerned about this. This is a supercut, track 11.
Violated their trust, building everybody's trust, rebuilding trust. For me to ask for trust, I don't think I appreciated trust. This idea of trust put their blind trust into me. Trust is everything. Violated trust. Trust is trust. I took their trust, their trust, the importance of that trust, and how that trust really starts and ends with trust.
What a dick.
I counted 20 trusts.
What's funny, though, remember before Fire Festival, didn't he have that credit card?
Yeah, that fake credit card.
It was another fraud.
Total disaster.
He's just a black card. Yeah, he's just a scammer. He will always be a scammer. He will never earn anybody's trust.
But the card was so cool. It was metal.
It was metal,
wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And it was black. So.
Mark, who would go into business with this guy after everything's been documented what he did?
Ja Rule might again, I think. I think he might be tricked into
doing it.
But
he was bamboozled too.
Yeah. Well, I still love that word.
If you remember, though, in the documentary, or one of them, they show him after the festival failure, he is still bullshitting and selling tickets that he doesn't have to raise money.
Yeah.
So he's learned nothing.
No. And you're right. There's going to be no way for him to make any money going forward.
Carl, are there any mentions of jet skis or wave runners in this podcast?
No, there were not.
Oh, what about all the hot girls that he got to come in?
Jordan just kept asking him the same question, but worded differently, as why should people ever believe him ever again? Which is a question you can't answer if you're Billy McFarland.
See, I wouldn't want to know about the influencers, and did anybody put out when he paid them all that money?
If we had him on, wouldn't you love to talk to him about what a great time he had when they were filming all those
because
you know that was a blast.
The good old days are always a good topic. And what about
you draw him into
credit card?
Yes. Yeah.
And Jordan, wasn't he reading?
Jordan did not do a great job interviewing him. It seemed to be all pre-prepared what he wanted to say and what they were going to talk about.
I wonder if it was part of the deal where he had to send him prepared questions or something. I know McFarland's not smart enough for that, though.
Well, why don't we move on to odds and ends, because you got a few of those, Carl, and we got to get on to the show here and get some commercials in, but go ahead.
Let's do it. I want to talk about Opie real quick, because Opie from Opie and Anthony, one of the biggest radio stars you'll ever hear, has a podcast. And what he's doing on his podcast is he's walking around with his phone and he's taking questions on Facebook Live and just talking to people who are chatting with him on Facebook Live. They started talking about that new Comedy Store doc that's on Showtime. And, of course, they bring up Mitzi, and then they talk about Pauly Shore. And he's talking about when Pauly Shore was on the Opie and Anthony show. And I thought this was interesting what he had to say about it.
Pauly's a weird fucking dude. I remember he was eating his balls at NEW when he came in. And then he was looking at me and Anthony basically with this fear in his eyes, basically saying, "Help me, guys." Because a radio host certainly could help somebody that's having a bad set on the radio. And we decided to let him eat his balls because we didn't like him. He came across very cocky.
All right, so he let Pauly eat his balls, which I've never heard before.
That's not a phrase, no.
I wanted to ask you guys, because you've had Pauly Shore on and a lot of other celebrities, have you ever let anybody eat their balls because you didn't like them?
No, I don't think so, because
I don't think that's necessarily entertaining unless people are in on it up front. Now, we have had people on, for example, Screech, mm-hmm. who we sort of let everybody know that this is really a big pile of bullshit, and he wants to talk about, you know, how he got screwed on this mortgage, and we really think it's bullshit. Why does anyone care? And then, of course, he lived up to everything that we suggested. And I think...
Yeah, he really ate his balls.
He did eat his balls, yeah. So that would be my answer. Screech.
My question for that clip is, what airfield is Obi doing that Facebook Live?
I know! That's why I wanted to set it up, to let you know that he's just on his phone on Facebook, and he's outside. At the time.
But all I can hear, it sounded like jet planes landing or taking.
How does he starts at Westwood One, which I assume they made a deal with him, and he goes from that to recording it on his phone? I mean, it seems to me he might want to regather and sort of come up with a new plan.
Yeah.
Well, it's really surprising, and I've documented this with Stuttering John as well. Then these guys start off and they have a plan and they have co-hosts and they have a studio and nothing goes right for them. They're just out of their element, but they continue to do it. They're documenting their failure for all of us to enjoy, which is great.
I'm very excited to hear the Stuttering John clips because it sounds like it's about the cockroaches again. I'm fully invested in the cockroach Stuttering John story.
Last time I was on the show, I documented that Stuttering John mentioned he had some cockroaches because he saw them live on his show while he had a guest on. And then he's gone on to say, the cockroach problem is behind me. I don't have any cockroach problems. But he keeps slipping up and mentioning cockroaches at his house. Oops. So it's very obvious that he lives in filth. So I'm happy to report that he's finally decided he's going to hire a maid service. This is Director
I have Dave. A house cleaner coming here tomorrow. God bless him. I called Molly Maids. They said it would cost me $400.
Is this a sponsor?
And I was like, nah, nah. So I went on Craigslist and found Jose and Lena. And they're going to do it for $125. But when they get here, they're going to up that, I know, at least
$200. What? Why does he know they're going to up that?
I don't think that's good imaging, John.
How bad is it that he can't even barter to have a maid service clean his cockroach problem?
I don't think this is something that you really should discuss on your podcast, although I'm thoroughly invested in the topic.
I just gave Jose a free read.
You know what's really funny? There's a video of this in the WATP subreddit. He forgot to pull up his green screen, because what he does is he pulls up a green screen to make it look like he's in a mansion. He started his show and he forgot to do that. And so he turns around and goes, he's horrified. And he pulls up the green screen, but you can see how gross his place is. There's boxes everywhere.
Wait, Carl, I need a screenshot.
Brandon, can you find that?
I need a screenshot. I need to see that.
Brandon's going to look for it.
Meanwhile, carry on.
It's like a 10-second video. I'll just scroll down a little bit on our subreddit, but it's so funny.
Carry on with Stuttering John, and we got to get moving.
That's so funny.
Because it's like that. That's how he cleans his house, is he just pulls up the green screen. So somebody asks him later on in the show, because you know he has a bunch of trolls that come out of his show and ask him questions.
Hilarious.
Someone asks him why he wouldn't just clean the place, number 14.
White claw bitch out. Why can't you clean your house yourself? Cost you no money then. Well, I could, but you know what? Cleaning is never my forte. Talking, writing jokes, telling jokes. Those are my fortes.
Wait, anybody can clean.
He's a stutterer. He says that talking is his forte. That's literally the worst thing you do. It's why you're famous. How bad are you at cleaning if you're better at talking?
Oh boy.
Turd.
He says he's too busy writing jokes. For what? He hasn't been a writer in a decade.
I don't hear jokes on the podcast.
I was going to say, you think he'd write some for his own podcast?
Right? There's never been a joke on his podcast. What's he talking about?
Oh, this poor guy.
What's his last one with John, number 15? All right.
So the last one here is a couple of days later, he's talking about, he still has these people coming over from Craigslist who are going to clean his house.
Jose and
he's
Lama.
Starting to get worried that they're actually going to go through with it for a very good reason.
What are the odds that the cleaning company comes and they take one step in this place and go, no, no. That's happened once to me in Manhattan, and it happened once with the dishwasher repairman who came in and went, no, and left.
What?
He lives in such filth. People have come over and said, I'm not walking into your house.
Oh my God, that's embarrassing.
Oh my.
Brandon found the clip. Hang on. Let me put it so you can see.
So look at, do you see the tapes piled up and all the boxes?
Yes.
He looks down and notices this.
I love it when he pulls it up too. It's really great.
Abracadabra, clean house.
Now that's entertainment. He has a kind of a smile on his face.
Well, you see those, you just see this really nice mansion just appear, but it's not like it doesn't just appear like that. It actually slides up from the bottom.
Brandon, can you send me a screenshot of the pre-green screen? Because I want to look at what's in the background. I want to explode it and look at the background.
He's got, like, one of the things he has is number 4. Is that a Yankees jersey? I guess Lou Gehrig. Like, not hanging framed on the wall. It's just on a hanger that seems to be hanging over a door that's open to something.
Because he ran out of things to wear, so he wore Lou Gehrig's jersey.
Oh, my God. What background is that?
Funniest.
Oh, man.
This is the best transition.
All right, Carl. Thank you, as usual. And what is on Who Are These Podcasts Sunday?
This Sunday is our last Jocktober of the month. We're going to be looking at Bubba Army Podcast. That's right. Bubba the Love Sponge.
Awesome. Forward to it. Are Dave and Chuck on your radar anywhere?
Dave and Chuck are not. Should I be checking them out?
I don't know. I don't want to encourage you. But
they have some great imaging.
You might find some similar imaging to what we just heard.
And they're national.
I'd like to hear your opinion on them. They replaced us on WRIF, so it'd be interesting to hear what Who Are These Podcasts things.
If you like it, you like it.
Yeah,
not I mean, you may just true, but I asked you for advice a month ago, and you've not given me this information.
I don't know why it didn't dawn on me.
It dawned on me when I heard the imaging for Freebird.
Oh, really?
They do.
These are our voices in the imaging.
Brandon just keeps replaying Stuttering John. Slide it up. I just want that on a loop.
The funniest video I've ever seen in my life.
Well, how do we? We got to make that available on our Facebook page or something.
Yeah, we can. We can share it. You can share it right there, Brandon. Go for it.
There you go.
Look at Brandon.
Sunday is the final of October.
Yeah,
Bubba the Love Sponge.
We'll do more radio shows in the future.
Yeah, I think I was looking at your top episodes, which you can look at on, what is the site? And it seems to me your top episodes, according to, what is it? Owl Tale. They have them like 1, 2, 3, they do up to 20. And I think your top 5 were all radio reviews.
That makes sense.
Howard Those Stern and maybe...
Adam Carolla?
Rover.
Maybe.
Might have been Man Cow up there. That was good. I actually enjoyed the Man Cow one.
I listened to the Man Cow.
Man Cow was fun.
The best one about the Man Cow was everybody talking over each other.
So bad. Yes. We also did an Alex Jones episode that my co-host and I listened to an entire week's worth of Alex Jones. We put a lot of work into that one, so that's fun.
Might have been up there, too. I'll check, and I'll send you a screenshot.
All right. Sounds good, Carl. Well, thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thank you. We'll be listening Sunday.
God, that's great, man.
Okay.
Thanks, Carl. It's funny with the have you seen the new Comedy Store documentary on Showtime?
I haven't, and I have great news. Mike Binder,
yes.
Thursday on this very show.
Wow.
And Mike is really, he's one of the great success stories of a Detroiter who is just gone. Just gone out to Hollywood and said, I'm going to go make it in Hollywood. And God, the balls that takes. And Mike was 18 years old. He started out as the doorman at the Comedy Store. He met Jay Leno. They became friends. I think he wrote jokes for Jay. And Mike.
You're a doorman, okay? You're a doorman. 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 Doorman.
Wow, Thursday. Okay, so you know how the first 3 episodes he is on a podcast talking to people?
Yes.
I forget who the first one was, but then
Mark Maron was one of them.
I know he did Maron. The new episode, he starts with Rogan because it's very chronological. And the one thing he mentions is about how the dark days of the Comedy Store. And that's when Rogan kind of brought it back out of there and all those guys that are on Rogan's podcast. It's really fascinating. But what the interesting part of the last episode is how the Tonight Show, remember that was everyone's goal?
Yeah.
has been replaced by the podcast. And so every time he talked to a comic, they would show what their podcast name is, because every single one of these comics has a podcast.
But they've got to get known before they do a podcast somewhere.
Well, that's where I think Rogan comes in, by having them on his show.
Oh, so he's essentially the Johnny Carson of 2020.
You got it. Yep. Wow. It was a really good episode. And then he also dug into the whole Carlos Mencia versus Rogan. Remember, yeah. Rogan confronted him for joke stealing.
Sure.
It's a really, really interesting
I think,
segment.
Carlos Mencia might be the worst guest we've had on the podcast.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree.
Bar none.
Well, I remember asking about the Rogan thing, and he totally blew it off. So,
well, his answers are like 5 minutes long to the most simple fucking question. I was just exhausted after he was on, and horrified.
We do have to get to one of our great guests here, Josie, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Josie.
Not too late for her, but.
Joe Rogan has been so good for podcasting because he's proven that you can gather a huge audience with podcasting. He's proven you can make a lot of money with a podcast. And not that, you know, Carolla wasn't doing it and Mark Maron wasn't doing it, but he's just taken it to another level. And also, the guests that guys like Maron and Joe Rogan are getting, I think there's a lot of people who feel like, if I've got something huge to promote, that's one of the primary places to go is Joe Rogan. So, what could be better?
20 million downloads an episode, they said.
Maybe I'm just not up with the times, but who listens to podcasts?
Oh, come on now.
There's a really funny moment when Mike
Troy Aikman.
When Mike Binder asks David Letterman about doing a podcast.
Does and Dave sound like an old man?
Yes, and it's funny because Bill Burr is
Dave sitting, could have a huge podcast. I would love to listen to
his Netflix show, but Bill Burr's sitting there too, and just the look on Burr's face, he's laughing his ass off. I just love Bill Burr, man.
He's great. He is really great.
Good.
As we step into fall, the team at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep Celebration event, and it's going to be off the hook. If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, then Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered, starting with the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month. How about a new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month? If you need a truck, go lease a 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. And then how about pure performance? Pour it into an SUV that drives like a sports car. Go lease the 2020 Dodge Durango GT at $343 a month. And no spot from Zot is complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. If you want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you still have time to custom order a Wrangler to your specs. Get details, surf the massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. Dr. Yeldo is back at the LOI Center. You probably, hopefully, you heard yesterday one of our listeners talking about what a great experience he had, how he had terrible vision, he was in his 40s, he was tired of the glasses, the Coke bottle glasses, to see any kind of distance at all, then taking them off to read, and the back and forth and contacts. And by the way, all the money that costs over time, if you go for LASIK surgery or multifocal lens implants, you'll save a lot of money on that, and maybe it won't seem nearly as expensive to get the procedure done. Plus, $1,500 off the regular price with Dr. Yaldo if you mention the Drew and Mike show, and then if you bring a friend, and they're going to have to get surgery while they're there, you get an additional half off your surgery. So get a free evaluation. Call 800-398-EYES. Not everyone that goes in there gets surgery, because Dr. Yaldo's not that kind of guy. Charlie LaDuff, who would have been the greatest patient in the world to have, went in there, and he said, you know, I'd have to say we would wait a few years before we do anything. So get a consult, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com and tell them you want the Drew Mike discount.
I love your eyes.
And let's see, who's facing divorce right now? Is there any well-known people getting divorced?
Not that I know.
I heard that George Clooney and Amal
were
at separate residences.
They can't make it. No one can. Well, maybe Hunter Biden and his new wife.
Oh, yes. And I would say
that row.
Hunter is all about Hunter. And he would certainly want to find the toughest bulldog divorce attorney for a man you could find, which would be Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or your kids and being treated fairly, which for a long time, men just didn't have a chance when it came to custody. A lot of men get 50-50 now if they want it. That's why you want someone like Adam. And They certainly are not hoping for this, but if it does happen, they have the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. All right. And Josie has the murder hornets in her backyard. We talked to her yesterday. Josie. I wonder if she knows this song.
I was going to say she's going to be blown away that there's a new song.
I know. I'm excited to hear her response. Well, she said she couldn't hear the song yesterday.
I didn't have it up loud enough.
I mean, stuff goes down the line still, doesn't it?
Josie.
Crank it.
Josie,
have you heard that song?
No.
We found
really?
Another one for you.
I can't believe, Josie, you must be a person without ego. You don't know any of the Josie songs.
What's that one?
That's Josie.
Josie. All right.
It's called the Josie song.
Where would Josie find the Josie song?
It's called the Josie song, and it's by a guy named The Guy Who Sings Your Name Over and Over Again, also known as Matt Farley.
Oh. Yeah, Matt Farley does that wonderful version of Josie.
It almost sounded like somebody just sitting there singing.
It really is.
It was that bad.
So it could have been us.
Along with me for Josie's very own birthday song.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Josie.
That's bad.
Okay, we were having a conversation earlier today because yesterday when we called and you said you did not know the Steely Dan song called Josie. So
I did, though. I just couldn't hear it. So I had to go pull it up and then I went, oh, I know that song.
Oh, you did. So you did go listen to it.
Yes.
Okay, so we had a lot of impact on Josie yesterday.
You did.
We changed your life in very small ways.
I didn't know that Donovan had a song called Josie in Blink.
Okay, so Donovan was the song that my dad named me after.
Oh,
Donovan,
that's cool.
Josie song. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I always thought Donovan was underrated.
Oh, I love Donovan.
At least he didn't name you Donovan.
Josie, I won't fail ya. I won't fail you.
Good stuff.
Are you a Donovan fan outside of the Josie song?
I'm not.
You're not?
What?
I'm surprised.
Does Donovan have some hits?
Yeah, Donovan had Mellow Yellow, Sunshine Superman, Season of the Witch, Hurdy-Gurdy Man.
Dang.
Yeah.
Atlantis.
Also, Jennifer Juniper.
Oh, great song.
Have you seen the movie Goodfellas?
Yeah.
Okay, the scene where, hey, get your shine box! Where he's yelling, Joe Pesci's yelling that at, I can't think of the actor's name. But and then he stabs him in the face with a pen and stuff, and they're playing the song Atlantis in the background.
Oh. Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, can you play it? Can you speed up to the hook of Atlantis? I want Josie to understand how important our show can be today.
Does this ring a bell?
Yeah,
that's the song playing at Goodfellas.
You are so going to crank Donovan tonight.
I think Josie's going to give Donovan a second chance. I hope.
Donovan's happening tonight.
Okay. Donovan is cool. So, Josie, yesterday, you know, it was all over. They had their less than stellar shot back. They sucked all of the murder hornets out of the tree behind your house. But then today, I find out that the queen murder hornet is still there.
Yes. So, I did some investigating. We live in the woods, so we have 40 acres in the woods. So, I went out.
Ooh.
Walked through the woods, seeing if that tree's still there. It's still standing, so they haven't cut it down yet. I think they're cutting it down maybe tomorrow. But
really?
So maybe the queen's in the tree.
Wait, what they were suggesting.
You went in plain clothes?
I went in plain clothes?
Mm, yeah, you weren't scared of getting stung by a murder hornet?
Oh, no.
I would think you'd be investing in those crazy outfits they had, those suits, which were really kind of cool.
They're pretty sweet.
And I would think... There would be a mommy suit, a daddy suit, and a child suits, like the two smaller ones, on hooks in your back hallway.
That would be hilarious. My husband's actually going to ask if he can borrow one for Halloween, and I have. I ordered a bee costume.
Oh, perfect.
But I need suggestions on how to make it a murder hornet. So I was thinking I need like brass knuckles or something.
Just carry a gun.
Yeah, carry a gun.
Splashes of blood.
Yeah, splashes of blood. There you go.
A bloody knife.
There you go.
I don't know. My husband said do a teardrop tattoo.
That's a good idea.
That's great. A good idea.
That's great.
Now, Josie, yeah, so. Because I'm so concerned about you and your husband and your children who'll be wearing the smaller suits hung up in the back hallway, I'm concerned that maybe, are you aware that these murder hornets can spit venom? Spit venom. Not just sting you, they can spit it.
What?
Yes, yeah. They can spit venom.
I hadn't heard that.
Yes. What? Because you didn't watch Good Morning America. They had a whole feature on, maybe this will be part of your homework with Donovan tonight.
Okay. I'm on it.
They do.
I know they have a big pincher thing on their face that they saw off the bees' heads with.
Yep.
And that's pretty gross looking. But so venom comes out of that, huh?
Yeah, they spit it. They just go and spit venom. I know.
That's why those suits have a full head enclosure, because they can't get it in their eyes.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's so freaky.
And no more forest walks for you.
That quarter-inch stinger, which, as you knew yesterday, because you're very up to speed on this, can penetrate the normal suit. That's why they have the crazy suits that you're going to have hanging up in the back hallway, because they're thick enough to handle that quarter-inch stinger. But they can sting with that thing multiple times without dying. And they deliver venom every time.
Yes. Yes. All hornets can sting multiple times. So
we have
hornets, and my husband has actually been attacked by a nest of hornets that he walked into, and it was a ground nest, and they stung him all over his face and his head.
Oh, my God.
And it was hideous. So I can't imagine something spitting at you and
spitting venom.
Did he inflate like Martin Short? What movie was that? That was an Interspace.
Oh, yeah, when he was
Pure Luck.
Pure Luck, when he got stung by all the bees and he's sitting in the back of the plane.
He's huge.
Like, hey, what's going on? His face is just perfectly huge and round.
He's totally fine until he knows he's been stung.
Do you know that movie, Josie, or is that something you're going to have to rent after you listen to Donovan tonight?
Yeah, I gotta look it all up. All I could think when they had the trackers on was I was just thinking Rick Moranis in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like a little person strapped on a bee's back or something.
Yeah, that's the snitch murder hornet. That's what the queen calls it, the snitch murder hornet, which had the camera attached. And apparently, now I haven't heard this verified yet, but some people are saying that the queen bee pulled the camera off the snitch hornet.
And then shot him.
Wow.
It was so livid about the snitch that it pulled the camera off it.
And then spit in his face.
Spit some venom.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and then the snitch hornet probably spit venom back. But it would be as strong as the queen bee's venom.
You got to make a lesson out of him.
It is curious if the queen's still in there, were all those other bees kind of surrounding her so that she couldn't get sucked out? Ooh. Or what? Like, it's too bad they didn't have a camera in the tree to see how that went. Down.
I know, because the snitch camera fell off the snitch murder hornet.
Wait, though, Josie, that's a good point. Why couldn't they put like a scope camera in there just to, you know?
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Why don't you get one and go out there and do it?
They probably have time. They're all dead now.
You think so?
I don't know. Well, the queen's in there.
Yeah, but dead.
Well, Josie has to wait till the mommy, daddy, and children's suits come in to do that anyway.
Wait, so they think
make the hangers in the back hall.
They think the queen's inside but dead?
Yeah, because after they sucked out the 85 bees or whatever it was, then they gassed the rest of them.
Oh.
Wow, they gassed them.
Wow.
Yeah, that's brutal. Gassed them.
The horror.
Yep.
What'd they gas them with, you know?
CO2?
Oh, that's right, yeah. CO2, carbon dioxide.
Oh, wow.
I thought they gassed just a couple of them, but you're right. I think they did put it in the tree.
Yeah, they put it right in the gas. Huh. So, it'll be interesting because they lost a bee. The first time they tried tracking, just one that somebody found just the road over from us on the other side.
Mm.
They lost that bee. because that tracking device only lasted 12 hours, and it was kind of a crappy tracking device, so they had to get new ones, and that's what they used this last time. Anyways, so there should be that old, that bee from a couple weeks ago, and the new bee from this week. I don't think they found any with trackers that they sucked out, so.
Wow.
It'll be interesting if they're in there.
So the old bee that was had a tracker, that bee didn't go home for 12 hours?
No, the tracker only works for 12 hours before it dies, and they lost it before they could, actually it turned
night. Oh, they got rid of it. So
before
somebody,
they could track it, by the next morning it didn't work anymore.
Maybe another bee spit venom at it.
The queen bee was just like...
I think that guy was being lauded kind of like, was it De Niro's character that wouldn't give it up for a while in Goodfellas? You know, he wouldn't snitch, he wouldn't narc. So this guy just waited out the 12 hours because he knew that tracker would die.
Wow, that is pretty cool. If the Murder Hornet knew that much information, that would be incredible.
Smart, man.
Just like Jimmy Conway.
It's a great character.
They do seem smart.
So, Josie, I am curious about the Halloween party that you've disclosed to us. Are you actually going to a Halloween party?
No, I'm just going to go, I don't know, walk around.
Josie's getting so many hard questions from us.
I have a bunch of kids. We're going to take our kids out. So.
Oh, so there's trick-or-treating in your neighborhood?
I don't know. I'm going trick-or-treating, whether there is or not. I have a Murder Hornet costume, so I'm going.
Yeah, you gotta. Oh, will you please
send us... I have brass knuckles. I need to have a dip in or something. Oh, my God.
I want a picture of this costume when you go trick-or-treating, please. Brandon, can you make arrangements with Josie to get us a picture of the Murder Hornet costume? I think it should be the cover of our show one day. Josie the Murder Hornet?
She's okay with it.
If Josie can handle that.
Josie, are you being contacted by a bunch of different media? I know. I feel like the only place I've seen you is Inside Edition.
We did local stuff.
But no GMA, no Today Show. I'm kind of surprised.
Oh yeah,
by
there
that.
Was GMA actually, but they I think it was a Zoom, and then they only covered it. They cover more like they showing pictures of bees and stuff, and it's like a flash of like. Yeah, that was scary. That's what we...
Oh, what a waste of your time.
They really wanted us to say how scared we were. That was their big...
Did you feel that you were poorly imaged, Josie?
No, because I never said I was scared. So.
Oh. You didn't fall for those media tricks.
They kept saying, so weren't you just so scared? I go, no.
Oh, how disappointing. That's what a disappointing subject. Yeah, I bet they cursed when they got off with Josie. Oh, my God. So you're so flip about your media appearances. I think that's kind of refreshing. I mean, she didn't really even know she was on Inside Edition yesterday.
No, did you ever see it?
Yeah, I did.
Were you happy with your performance?
The whole thing is so cheesy. I
love Inside Edition.
It's a great show.
Oh, but the headliner picture was like my husband and I, and then a murder hornet right under us, and it says murder hornet in our backyard. And then the way they spelled murder hornet looks like creepy writing or something. It's just funny. Just cracking us up.
And I bet Josie did not go back and listen to our podcast yesterday.
I did not.
Oh, my God. She's too busy listening to Steely Dan.
That's true. Yeah, we've given her a lot of assignments.
Yeah.
Well, Josie, listen, have fun with Donovan tonight. Have fun with getting your new suits.
Which watching Goodfellas.
Watching Goodfellas. And whatever other assignments we've given you.
Awesome.
And if there's any breaking news whatsoever about the Murder Hornets, I hope we can count on you for another appearance on the show.
Yeah. Okay.
She sounds thrilled.
Thank you, Josie.
Bye, Josie.
Bye.
Bye. She lies on my breast. In the night I think about her. In the day. I want to see her in that Murder Hornet costume.
That's a great idea. I cut me a young pine cone and I
gave it to the river deep. I haven't heard anyone say, as she said,
yeah, I'm going trick-or-treating. I have not heard anyone say that.
Maz? Is Maz going trick-or-treating?
There's just a ton of people going trick-or-treating.
But is Maz going door-to-door?
Oh, I don't know exactly what his plans were. Is that Josie?
Yeah.
Up there? Is that her daughter?
Let me see.
Yes.
Brandon.
What?
Nothing.
Wow, Josie's daughter is tall.
Well, I think Josie... Is Josie sitting down there?
No, I don't think
no? So. No? Okay, wow. Well, maybe Josie's short.
Josie's very pretty.
Oh, wow. Wow, more than two kids. What is that, five kids?
Oh, my God.
What a cute little family.
She's got a whole brood.
Yeah.
That's going to be so cute with the mommy and daddy suits in the back hallway and the five little kitty costumes getting smaller progressively.
Yeah, look at that. Wow. That's a cute family.
Yeah, very cute.
Small hazmat slash stormtrooper.
And the baby one, because there's a little baby. Oh, that's an old picture. Can I see another picture of Josie, please?
God, Facebook's so weird.
I know, it is. It really is.
It's, I mean, a stranger, but you know so much about somebody. Crazy.
She's pretty.
Oh, there she there. Her last post update: Como tonight, 11 p.m. 2. Max and I just did a Zoom with GMA for tomorrow's morning show. Not positive the time, but said maybe 7:30. I suppose there's a chance it doesn't air. Max wore a Blaine t-shirt. That's where they're from, Blaine, Washington.
Oh,
wait, did she better have posted about the podcast?
She's a little more. She's a little more media hip than she let on.
Should we call her back?
Because they're informing everyone. I'm tempted to.
Why she didn't post that she did the podcast?
It's kind of bullshit.
She doesn't post often.
Last couple of days, she has. Now that the Murder Hornet fame... There's a Murder Hornet fame going to her head. Murder Hornet fame.
I know she's trying to draw more attention to it with her Halloween costume.
That's so funny.
Overreaction is not the strategy for the long-term investor. Neither is burying your head in the sand and hoping it all turns out for the best. Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth. 248-663-4748. Rational financial advice. Coronavirus. Craziness. You know, the coronavirus is in a bad place right now as far as new cases. I think it's at an all-time or close to an all-time high. Now, the death rate is a lot lower, but still, there's a lot of concern how this affects the market. And yesterday, 650 points worth. What did today do? Is the market any good today?
NASDAQ was up. Dow was down the last time I saw. Yeah, same thing.
Same, it down again?
The Dow was down 0.8%.
Well, that's significant.
NASDAQ up 0.6.
So stocks or bonds, how do you balance your portfolio? And where does the coronavirus fit into all this? Do you move your 401k, your college savings plan? Have you started one? 529, the financial advantages. The financial advantages of all your investments. What can be written off? What can't be written off? Should you take losses? Well, if you have a financial plan, all these things make a lot more sense. Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies, 248-663-4748.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of
Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
And the next time you talk to Luke, those who do visit with him, and a lot of people have been very happy, be sure to thank him for all. He's on every Red Shovel show.
Mm-hmm.
He started with our show. He went on Eli and Denny and Bob. And then he went on Charlie. And then the show that he is most politically divergent from, The Soul of Detroit, he is on that show too.
Yeah,
great guy.
He's really one of the biggest supporters of the Red Shovel Network. And we thank you, Luke,
yes, we do.
For that. So, where'd it go? Okay. Oh, boy. As far as the election, I read a story today about all the places that are preparing for something rather horrific afterwards. Texas has sent 1,000 troops into 5 cities they think could possibly become places that go a little crazy. D.C. is boarding up stores. Rodeo Drive, we talked about that yesterday. They're boarding up the entire Rodeo Drive. There have been all those Trump rallies. What are all those Trump rallies in Beverly Hills?
Well, there's a lot of money, weird. A lot of money out that way.
And what about all... It just seems like the Trump rallies are these car and boat rallies. What's up with that?
Well, they're being responsible in these times of COVID.
Oh, because of COVID. Oh, duh. Well, yeah, that's a good reason. New York City has similar plans, although New York City is largely boarded up already. But, I mean, this is a lot of serious concern in this crazy, 2020. And then, you know, just as you're feeling a little unsafe about that, you've got Philadelphia yesterday, which really blew up. In fact,
what a mess.
I know. It is
bad absolutely things happen in Philadelphia. Bad things.
And just let's see. I'll start from the beginning about Philadelphia. Well, last night there was significant looting. There were many cars set on fire, including police cars. 30 officers were injured because of the protests in Philadelphia. Bricks and projectiles were thrown at the police. One police officer was run over. A female police officer was run over by an SUV, a truck. 12 officers were hospitalized, hit by bricks or other projectiles. That was a female sergeant, actually, that was mowed down by the pickup. And this following the killing of a man who was surrounded by, not surrounded by police, but there were police there. He had a knife. They were called an emergency regarding this guy who apparently was generating fear for someone. And they arrive, and of course they demand that he drop the knife, and he would not do that. And then he started to advance on the police, and they all had their guns pulled, too. Mm-hmm. He was shot by two different officers a total of 11 times. Now, you know, in typical, if I look at the history of these kinds of events, it doesn't really surprise me because, I mean, this person was certainly a threat. But, you know, the people that were angry, and there were a lot of protests. In fact, the city kind of blew up. I mean, there were there was looting. There were car fires.
It was straight riots.
Did you watch the video of the shooting, by the way?
The shooting of the guy with the knife?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Why?
Well, I mean, it just doesn't look like he's not stopping. He's walking. I mean, he keeps following the police around with a knife, and you just can't do that.
I agree. And that's what I was saying, was that this looked like the kind of event that would really not draw a lot of attention because...
No, it'd be justified. If it wasn't for 2020... Would it be this bad?
No. I don't think it would.
You know, it's funny. The one thing that's arising out of this is everyone's like, why wouldn't you just try to tase them? Did you know they don't have tasers because of budget constraints?
In Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Really? Because, what, did they defund the police?
Well, for whatever reason, they didn't have it in their budget to have...
I thought the police had too much money and they needed to be taken away from them.
They didn't have tasers.
You know, they had some people on the news, and, you know, I really felt that the people they talked to... who were people who lived in the area, you know, who may have witnessed this or certainly knew about it. And they talked to police, too, and they talked to the head of the police department, the chief, who was a black female. I thought they were all very sincere, and I felt their pain because for the police chief, you know, this is a horrible thing. She's got 12 officers hospitalized. She's got a female officer run over by a pickup. I mean, in something that just looked horrible. It's like you're glad she's alive. She had a badly broken leg, but I guess she's going to make it. And the questions that were asked are the questions that I've seen asked over and over. One girl said, and I know people would make fun of her for saying this, she said, they could have shot him in the leg.
They don't train them.
And they don't. No, they don't train officers to shoot people in the leg. They shoot them. They train them to end the threat.
Yeah.
And that's why he was shot 11 times. Now, you know, I say this, too, when I've seen a lot of these is, God, did they have to shoot him 11 times? And I think in the police training, I don't think that's even debated. But I don't understand as far as the overkill. And you could certainly say there's been overkill in certain instances where somebody shot 20 times, you know, by three different police or whatever. I feel like no one has really addressed this or even talked about it or even had a conversation about it or had a debate about it or gotten the people together to talk about, you know, how do we come away maybe with some of these people alive, you know, who are threats, who people say, you know, he was just really on some terrible, you know, mentally ill bender. And, you know, he's otherwise a great person. And we're, you know, they're obviously upset that the person, not that they were stopped, but that they were shot, you know, 14 times or whatever. So I understand that complaint. I just don't feel like anyone has done anything about it or really even discussed it. Or is it just dismissed? Because every time this happens, you know, that was what a number of the people, the one girl said, oh, shoot him like, a number of people said, God, did they have to shoot him 11 times?
I I don't know. I disagree. If you're gonna fire once, why not fire 11 times? Because you're firing to stop the threat.
But why can't then they have to make people understand that? Because no one seems to understand that.
Well, maybe the question is, are they firing too soon? But then that's a really tough line to balance.
Someone advancing with a knife is, sure. I mean, it's a very solid threat.
Well, then you shoot until it stops. So who cares if it's one time or 11 times?
Well, I would think
you shoot them one time, you can still keep coming. Shoot them twice. I mean, how many bullets does it take to stop somebody coming at you then?
It depends.
Well, tell. I mean,
I saw the one guy.
That's why you shoot until they're stopped.
There was the video of a guy. Brandon saw it. I know, and I think we showed it on the show. He was shot three times while he advanced on this one cop, and he just got up and went running for the other cop, this black cop, who just couldn't pull the trigger. I don't know why. It was like, was this guy afraid to pull the trigger? And he got in a wrestling thing with this officer. So I don't know what happened.
Well, remember wasn't it in Lansing where the officer, the female, yeah, shot the guy?
That was a weird
shot
one.
Shot him a couple times and he was still coming. So I don't have a problem. Well, shoot him 11 times, shoot him 100 times. Until
if someone
stop.
Is still coming and they're close to you, of course.
I don't
know.
Difference between one bullet and 11? You know?
Well, yeah, somebody will more than likely die from 11 bullets, and they have a pretty good chance of living with one bullet in a lot of cases.
Yeah, but they also have a greater chance. They can keep coming at you, so you shoot until
they
stop.
Are still coming at you, absolutely. But, I mean, these are. I think I'm really sort of parsing and splitting hairs here, sure, because the problem is it seems that no one in the community understands this, that this is the way it's done, that no one has done anything to change the policy or even reconsider the policy. And should they talk about it? I don't even know. But I just feel like there's a real disconnect between what the policy is and what people want the policy to be, or that they just don't understand the policy. Because why should Philadelphia blow up last night? That was a by-the-books police shooting, pretty much.
Well, nothing gets the message of what you're trying to express across more than looting a beauty supply store.
It wasn't just that. Holy crap. Did you see the looting videos?
No,
I did not. Can you show me a couple?
The point
I knew it was bad. I mean,
point being,
I know what you mean, Mark.
It doesn't solve anything.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of them. Here's a random one here.
Now to come!
I guess looting kind of looks fun.
That looks like a lot of traffic.
Jump ahead.
That looks like the Eagles just won the Super Bowl again. Yeah, that's the shoe store that Les Trent was walking through on Inside Edition.
Oh, brother. Yeah, these are just scumbags.
Yeah.
Wow. Nothing to do with it.
Opportunistic scumbags.
And, yeah, they get sort of lumped in with the whole story, and it just doesn't do anything except upset
everyone,
more people.
Everyone, yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't even know what to say about it. I just don't understand this riot first, loot first, ask questions later. And honestly, I don't even hear anyone suggesting that. It just seems like no one really deals with anything anymore. No one solves problems.
Nothing's changed. Nothing's going
and to change. I thought that the police chief was very sincere. She was on site. She was talking to the residents in the area. And they talked to a couple other police who were not involved in the shooting, but they were on site and they were talking. And, you know, everybody's upset. Mm-hmm. But it's just like riot first, ask questions later. And how many times has this happened? You know, Pittsburgh was just a ball of fire for days after this guy who was involved in a drive-by shooting, although people insisted that he wasn't, he was, and he was shot in a chase after the police pulled the car over. And that city just was a disaster area for a good week. And then, I don't know what happened, if it just sort of burned itself out because it was pretty much determined that it was a valid shooting. But I tell you, I really feel for police these days. It's just, you can't do the right thing. And I see so many situations
so many situations. People are so much bolder. You know, the message we have is that, you know, you got to tell your kids if they're going out that, you know, if they're a person of color, that, you know, it's a good chance the police might murder them or you might get murdered. And this is such a leap. This is such a huge leap, not just from the numbers, but the idea that the police just want to kill people. And I see so much more disrespect and hatred, just absolute hatred for police. People just screaming at them, you know, in these sort of standoffs in protests where they're just screaming in their faces about their racists and their ass, screaming at black policemen, calling them racists and calling them pigs and oink oink and this sort of stuff. And I noticed in the Jews for Trump, I feel funny saying that, the Jews for Trump parade. Did you see much of the video from that?
No.
Okay, the police started arresting people because they were fighting and they were just absolute. It was just kind of a mess. And they're pulling people out of this pile of people fighting. And people who are friends of them, I guess, because there was a Black Lives Matter protest that met the Jews for Trump protest. And so the scrapping started and the paint throwing and, you know, just stupidity. So they're pulling people sort of out of these fights to arrest them, and their cohorts are pulling them from the police. And it's like, wow, does anyone give the police authority anymore? It seems like I see so many cases where they just don't. They're just like, fuck you, you're not arresting that guy. And I don't know, I just feel like this is such...
The law still gives them authority. To your question,
the law gives them authority, but I mean, the more people that think that you don't have to do what police tell you because the police are fucked up and they want to kill you, it just doesn't create a good situation. And, you know, the Offset video was a good example where he's like, you can't do that. You can't, you know, you can't tell me what to do. Of course, he was really more.
I'm going to sue the shit out of y'all. Y'all know who I am?
Yeah, I'm Offset from Migos and, you know, all that baloney, but. I mean, he's just completely disrespectful. And you can tell the police in that case, and if you've watched it, I think you know what I mean. They're a little bit on their heels, like, oh, fuck. You know, and they're trying to tell him that, you know, look, it's not about that. You know, we got a call about this. And, you know, and he's just, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And after all the fuck yous, there is a gun in the car. And it's not supposed to be on, neither one of them are supposed to have a gun. And, you know, I would say chances are, pretty damn good that one of them was waving the gun because someone called and mentioned that. Well, more than mentioned it, they called and they gave the license plate. So, you know, it just looks so.
I got your
difficult.
License plate number.
Regarding Philadelphia and maybe change and police oversight, the shooting interrupted a meeting for the Special Committee on Criminal Justice Reform. Like, they were having a meeting as to...
Well, at least they're having a meeting.
What do we do going forward? And then, of course, it was interrupted by someone going, we just had another police shooting in West Philadelphia.
I swear,
Is that not the most ironic thing?
No, it just sucks. I'm glad they're having a meeting, to be honest.
And then it's interrupted by another shooting.
It seems like every shooting now involves... There's just immediately protests, riots, not riots always, but just really angry protests. And no one even considers the fact that it might be what is considered a reasonable shooting. It's just assumed that all police shootings are terrible and wrong and probably racist. So, you know, just really frustrating for everyone. Saved by the Bell reboot.
What?
Yeah.
Saved by the Bell reboot.
Why?
You know, that's a good question. I have no idea why. Well, okay. I don't think anybody will watch anything but the first episode.
I think the reason it happens is because every reboot, like we had a 90210 reboot. There was the, what's the one?
Oh, The Hills?
Aunt Becky. Stupid show. Yeah. Full House. Fuller House, I guess, is a success.
Don't leave out
The
Hills.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to see Hills. Urkel. We're going to see Family Matters and Urkel soon. He'll be back.
Yeah, but Reginald Val Johnson is dead. The dad?
Urkel's not.
Yeah, but who cares about Urkel if you don't have the dad for him to butt
heads
against?
Fresh Prince is coming back and Uncle Phil's dead.
Ugh.
So here's the funny thing. Here's the new trailer for Saved by the Bell, the spinoff, which does have Zach Morris, A.C. Slater, Kelly Kapowski, Jesse What was Jesse's last
name? Spano.
Can you give the actor's name?
Spano.
Jesse Spano.
Jesse Spano was the chick from Showgirls, Elizabeth Berkley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we saw her.
Is Pumpkinhead in there?
Yeah, that's Beverly Ann Matisse's.
Yeah.
Beverly Ann Matisse's.
And even Max is back, but you know who's not? I didn't see.
Screech.
Lisa Turtle.
What?
Screech. Or Mr. Belding.
No, Screech is left
wait,
out.
Wait, wait, wait.
Mr. Belding.
They got less diverse. They got rid of Lisa Turtle.
I didn't see her.
They got
she
rid
might
of Lark Voorhees.
Oh, wait, here it is. Mr. Belding?
Yo, mama. Sorry, Dr. Mama.
How do you think this year's going to go?
Elizabeth Berger looks hot,
excited,
man.
I'm excited for the first day of school. Why is everybody so rich?
Are you ready for my party Saturday night?
I got DJ Khaled's baby to make you a playlist. It's okay. Time out. What is up with these kids?
In attendance will be the governor of California.
Matt's dad?
You look amazing. Your hair's fire.
My dad's also coming.
I don't care about your dad, Spencer. I just care about Zach and Kelly.
We all want these new kids to feel welcome.
Can we talk?
Did you just sit backwards in a chair? Wow, never seen anyone do that in real life.
It's not going to work unless we get to know them. You only know how Bayside works for kids like you. Hot kids. Privileged kids.
Privileged kids.
Bayside, it's where I finally felt like I belong. This place is magic.
Oh, damn, I love magic.
Hey, Max, actually, I ordered cheese on mine. Take a look in your pocket. Does this place ever stop being weird?
A one, two, three.
Boy, this looks terrible.
That looks so stupid. Oh, my God.
But I'm blown away with how good Elizabeth Berkley looks.
She does look really good.
Better than Beverly Ann Thesis. Look at right.
I didn't see her. Oh, I didn't even look like her.
Huh. Well, she does look. What's different?
Beverly Ann Thesis.
Well, I think her body filled out, so
yeah,
it's not much of a pumpkin head.
I think everything looks a little big.
Oh, her head doesn't look like pumpkin head, though, does it?
No, because her body's a
what's
little
up bigger. With that?
It's like putting a pumpkin on a, you know, big hay bale or something.
You're right. Jesse Spano looks good.
She looks great. So does Mario.
Mario's so buff.
Mario Lopez doesn't have a shirt on in many scenes. I think we should call
Mario.
Should we call Dennis Haskins for comment?
Mr. Belding? I was thinking we call Screech.
Screech never answers. We haven't called Haskins in a few years.
Screech really won't answer?
Hates us, too.
We can try him.
I know he hates us, but that's why it'd be fun to call him.
We can try him.
If he's not going to answer, I guess we'd rather call Mr. Belding.
We haven't tried Belding in a long time.
What's Belding's name?
Dennis Haskins.
Dennis Haskins.
Remember when we talked, we actually used the phrase check, please?
Yeah, you know what? Funny. Can you hold off? I just want to get some more coffee.
Okay.
It's funny you mentioned that, Mark. Because
I can't wait through Dennis Haskins.
Because I remember, I don't know why, but it was... I think when I was breaking off from the Drew and Mike show at WRAF and I was shooting up north to go produce a couple shows on my own. And I want to say, I was like, hey, Mark, you want to give me any phone numbers on the way out? And you were like, sure, here, I'll give you this one. And you only gave me one phone number, and it was Dennis Haskins.
What an asshole. Well, I didn't want any of their numbers to get burned.
Pretty sure I fucking booked him for Norm Jones' show up in Traverse City.
Well, I would have given
and everybody
you more
up
than
there
that.
Was like, holy shit, you got Dennis, he got Mr. Belding on the show.
He was hot back then, man.
No, he wasn't. This was 2010.
What? Was he a great guest, though?
I think he was really nice.
Would I really not give you any more? Did you ask for any other numbers? Very protective of my Rolodex.
No, I understand. I mean, when you build your own, it's hard to just throw the Rolodex away. Same thing with drops. When you build a whole empire of drops and a whole file, and then people email me and they go, hey, can you do me a favor and send me 10,000 of your drops? It's
I don't think so.
You know, I worked on them.
Well, I'll help you find them.
They are available anyway.
They're all findable now. That's fine. Speaking of you going on, have we ever talked about the Brady Hoak football? Do you remember that?
Oh, you know what? That's right. When I was up in Traverse City.
This just shows what a very poor communicator I am, which is ironic considering what we do.
When I was up in Traverse City, I was still trying to keep in touch with you guys from here and there. Just, you know, it was one of those, hey, you never know type of things. And sure enough, you know, I ended up working with you guys again. But at one point we had Brady Hoke come up and he had dropped off a football and he signed it. And it's in my possession, and I don't care about Brady Hoke. I don't really collect memorabilia at the time because I had this small, shitty studio apartment. So I decided, Mark Fellhauer loves the Wolverines. I think he's head over heels for this guy named Brady Hoke. So I'm going to just package it and send it to him and not even say anything. So I put it in a box. I send it to the Riff Attention Mark, and nothing for a couple of years.
No, it wasn't a couple of years. It might have been a couple months to when I finally wrote a thank you note. A thank you email, not even a note.
It was a couple months, dude. I want to say it was like, it was at least a year.
But I meant to do it every day. I would see him be like, I got to write Brandon. I got to thank him for this lovely
Do you still
gift.
Have that turd ball?
Of course. It's, you know where it is? Sitting on top of it is my autographed Rich Rodriguez hat. Why would I get rid of it? It's, you know, it's kind of ridiculous.
Look at me. I'm looking for the trash can.
It's kind of ridiculous and fun.
But I don't know if you remember, you made it up to me when we started working together at 105.1.
Yeah, when Walters turned down the job. We needed someone, so I was like, Brandon. So, it all works.
No, I actually meant you got me a signed David Circus Kirkus helmet.
No, did I?
Yeah, that wasn't still from in my basement right
that
now.
That wasn't
I got
from
it right
Maz?
Dave Circus Kirkus, the hero of Emily City Spartan Athletics, one of the greatest Grand Valley State University football players and track and field runners of all time.
One of the best Subway closers, too, him and his mom.
That's true. A Detroit Lion. A Denver Bronco.
Did he catch a touchdown with the Lions? Did he catch
Hell yeah,
more
he
than
did
one?
From really? Joey Harrington. Shit.
Oh, my God.
Of course he
God,
did.
That's really sad. But the joke
Not
was...
sad at all.
Well, no, just that the Lions had the Harrington to Kirkus connection for a while. But the joke about that was that you worked with him at Subway, and he would have his mom come in and close so he could go out and party quicker, I guess. Right? That's how the story goes.
It might have happened like once, and you guys just took it and ran with it. But guy was a stud, man. I'm telling you, every chick loved him.
Oh, I believe that.
All these hotties always up at Subway. And he's like, hey, what's up? This is my sidekick, Brandon. And I was like, hey, how you doing? Would you like double meat on your sub?
Wait, you know? Did you ever get any of Kirkus's crumbs?
Kirkus's crumbs.
You never got to?
No.
Well, how old are you? You were a lot younger. I mean, he was in college, right?
He was 4 years older than me, so yeah. So he had, you know, 20-year-old girls, and I'm 16.
You weren't that young, though, because I believe you got in trouble drinking at that Subway after hours because you had no other place to go, right? Wasn't that Subway? Was I not supposed to say this story?
15, that was my first minor in possession of alcohol. I'm not proud of it, but it did happen. And it was just because you don't have anywhere to go when you're a kid, and I didn't really want to party hardy that bad, but I had a buddy over, I had a family member over, and we couldn't drink at the house. And me and my cousin both worked at Subway, so we said, let's just go party there, man. We can make ourselves some food, bring a PlayStation, maybe play some games back there, drink some beer. And unfortunately, a police officer drove behind the building right as
someone was walking in.
Yeah, right as a police officer was driving by. I gotta shut this fucking dog.
Were you surprised that, or maybe looking back, were you surprised he gave you an MIP?
No, not at all, because I was 15. I mean, up in that area, up in the thumb, the closer you get to the city, a lot of things...
Are they more lenient, do you think? Because I remember one run-in a couple people had in Ann Arbor, and the officer was great. He's just like, look, I've seen a lot worse things than this. Just pour everything out and be on your way. And I was like, oh, well, thank you, Officer Tank. Ironically, or maybe not so ironically, like 3 years later, Officer Tank got in. It was a really weird situation, but he got in a car accident right in front of our house. We're like, hey, we remember that guy. He's the guy that let us off.
But see, I mean, the closer you get to the city, though, the less you
More
get in trouble.
Oh, Brandon's so bummed. Kristen,
my whole fucking...
Kristen just entered the frame to get rid of Barking Randy. And then as she exits frame, just a massive crashing noise. Is she okay?
Yeah.
He's so bummed.
What happened?
I didn't even get to finish a thought in the last 10 minutes. I have no idea. This is all I heard.
I'm I think my joy in watching that was watching your face and reaction, because you were very mad that Randy was barking, which, whatever.
Dude.
I mean, dogs bark. It's fine. Babies cry. Dogs bark.
What crashed?
Kristen crashed, picking up Randy, and she just exited off the Zoom screen.
No, but I mean, what was the crashing? What
sounded like crash a it sounded like a baby gate going down.
There's lots of gates around here to try to keep this stupid dog in here with me, and he won't stop barking. There's people here, a whole bunch of people upstairs.
What? It's, they have a party?
Well, it's family. There's
they have masks
going down. No, they don't have masks.
What? Have you changed your air filter lately?
Man, I'm sorry. I don't even know where the hell I was the last 8 minutes. I know I was talking somewhat about one of those MIPs and Dave Kirkus, but...
You're fine.
Should we call Mr. Belding?
I'm so ready to call Dad. What's for dinner, by the way? Brandon's shoveling food in his mouth.
Spaghetti.
God, I would love to eat spaghetti during the show. It's so cool that you can sort of...
You were eating Cheerios.
Immerse your personal life into the show.
I heard you eating Cheerios.
Trust me, it's ice cold. I haven't taken any bites of it.
When you were going upstairs, Brandon said his big get up in Traverse City was Dennis Haskins, because that was the only number I gave him from the Rolodex.
And a guy named Meinhardt Robbie, who was one of the last surviving munchkins.
Probably because I thought he was going to die soon.
Why would you only give him Dennis Haskins? That's a weird person to give up.
It was a great interview.
Wouldn't have another good interviews?
I don't know, maybe. Very possessive of the Rolodex. Some kind of a jerk.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 818.
Saved by the bell.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Dennis, it's the Drew and Mike Show calling from Detroit. We've had you on a few times, and we were looking at the Saved by the Bell reboot and saw that you weren't part of it. We were disappointed and just wondered what is going on. I mean, maybe this is something you didn't want to do anyway, but... Would love to catch up. If you want to call back this number tomorrow around, let's see, a couple hours earlier than this or around this time, we'd love to talk to you, or we'll try you back. Thanks, Dennis.
What are the odds he calls back?
Well, now we got to try Screech.
I think he might just call back.
I think he will, too. All right, I'll try Screech.
He might just want to pop off.
He will claim that he has no interest in doing it.
Oh, bullshit.
He wants to leave that part behind.
Really?
The wireless customer you are calling is not available.
Because he hasn't paid his bill.
All these people are getting a chunk of cash for doing this. Even if it only lasts 6 episodes, they still get a chunk of cash. I mean, how...
And didn't Screech just lose his home, the one that... He wanted us to save the one that he bought on a land contract.
When did that happen?
Not that long ago.
Like, since we talked to him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, relatively, like, recently. Yeah. Remember he left, didn't he just leave it, and then the water froze, the pipes broke, water froze?
Yes, it was a disaster.
Everything that guy touches is a disaster.
He's such a liar, too. He's
not a nice guy.
There was also recently a hoax online that he was dead. To the point where Reuters had to have a story that said, actor Dustin Diamond is not dead.
Oh, he probably put that out there so people would remember.
Yeah, for sure. Did anybody see Rio Soma on The Voice?
No.
He's a Detroit auto worker.
Really?
28 years old. And he appeared on The Voice, and they loved him. And I didn't see the... pre-part where they talk about the person and, you know, they got their big shot. Sure. And of course, this guy was out of his mind. His mom was just so pumped. And it was just one of these things where, you know, when I saw he's a Detroit auto worker, I'm like, oh, God, I hope this guy kicks ass. And he was a phenomenal singer, just a great singer. And he sang Cruisin' by Smokey Robinson.
Great song.
Yeah, great song. And, God, he sang the shit out of it.
Is he better than the guy that won America's Got Talent?
Yes, he is. You mean the guy who was second place doing Blackbird?
Yes.
Yes, he's better. He's much better than that guy. He wasn't in prison for a million years, but...
Wow!
Yeah. Turn immediately. Legend. Oh,
Stefani needs
her. Legend, legend.
She needs her cushion flip. Boring John Legend just turned his chair. Kelly Clarkson slowly turned her chair around.
Legend is going to be unable to contain himself. He's going to stand up and start jamming.
Yeah, because he can't let anyone have the limelight for very long unless it's Tegan.
The show's mom in a second.
Oh, sit out, Legend.
How is Legend always available when he's on a regular show?
I tell you, he needs to get out of the house.
Look at that voice, man.
That is great. What's wrong with Sheldon?
Sheldon says he doesn't really know what to do with him because he doesn't know the song.
What?
That's what he said. But they have that part afterwards. He gives a really weird answer to her question, by the way.
What is wrong with you, Blake? Come on, Blake.
Oh my gosh, what is your name?
My name is Rio Suma. I'm 28 years old and I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit?
Oh my gosh.
Detroit.
Well, Rio,
I've been there.
You have an incredible gift. And you took a song that is classic to this Rio place. The thing that impresses me most is when vocalists go to places I just wouldn't think of. John, you actually do that for me, too, as a vocalist. And it's really interesting. It just makes for a very intriguing performance because not many people are capable of that. You are wonderful. Killer voice.
Thank you.
And hold on, I got to say, sorry. And this, the pause for, like, the body roll in the middle of it.
Hey.
That was, like, my favorite part.
Hey, Rio, let me say my piece and get out of the way because I didn't hit my button, which I'm the moron.
Okay? Disrespectful.
Yeah. Actually... I didn't hit my button out of respect. I love your voice, and you're super talented. But not only did I not know that song, I didn't even know
really?
Kind of what lane, what genre that is, and so I would not know what direction to steer you.
Blake.
So, out of respect and not wanting to screw up your life, because there would be no way you could say no to me. Let's face it. I'm going to let these three just argue it out, but congratulations, man. You are on The Voice.
Thank you,
Blake.
Let's
talk about that song. Let's educate Blake
a
little bit.
That's a great song, yeah.
It was written by a great Detroiter.
Kid Rock wrote that song?
Not Kid Rock, not Marshall Mathers, but Smokey Robinson.
Oh, wow. I can see that.
The architect of the Motown sound wrote that song, and that is literally one of my favorite songs on the planet. And when your voice came in, it was just
magical. Does Rio kind of look like LeBron
normally
James?
That song is completely falsetto. It kind of drifts and floats, but it doesn't have the kind of power that you brought to the song. You showed us that powerful chest voice that you have.
He does resemble LeBron James.
Piercing, beautiful falsetto that you have. You did everything with this song, and you made it.
I'm not on social media right now.
You deserve to be a four-chair turn. You are a
phenomenal. He killed that song.
How does Blake not know that?
I can't imagine.
Blake is my age.
I realize he's in country.
I'm 5 months older than Blake. How can he not know?
Doesn't even know it's R&B.
I love that sound. Voice sounds unique.
What's this part?
But it also sounds like professional and perfect. What's exciting about you, too, is the confidence that you have on stage. And you just know that music just lives inside you. This is my favorite thing I've ever done is be a coach on The Voice. So I would love you to be on Team One.
Did you grow up singing in the church, or
the movie that kind of got me started was like Sister Act 2?
Oh my gosh, I love it when she punches him and
Sister
she's
Act
like,
two.
"Thanks."
His eyes on the sparrow.
I sing because yes, that's my favorite part.
I get it.
Yes, Kelly.
Kelly, sing that song. I was in high school at that time, and all of my singing friends were so excited when Sister Act 2 came out.
Really?
And we would see Lauren, and we'd see all these other singers, and it just made us feel like
we were
being
seen and
being
represented
on the screen. It was beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
Rio, who do you choose as your coach?
You know it's going to be legend.
Better not be.
He's available.
He used to challenge himself. Choose Gwen.
John Legend.
Yeah! Of course he did. All right.
Did I miss, is like Sister Act 2 a big thing that I missed?
I don't think so. What did it do at the box office? Is it a big box office movie?
What are you fucking talking about? It was great.
I mean, I was in high school like John Legend at the time, and none of us went out and saw it.
I didn't go out and saw it, but I had it on VHS. It's pretty good.
Whenever there's a sack of shit movie that you know is kind of popular, you know Brandon will be a huge fan of it.
You had it on VHS?
He's that guy that watches those movies. I go, whoever watches that movie? It's Brandon.
My mom bought it. I didn't do it.
Well, you watched it.
Now, Whoopi Goldberg sings songs in the soundtrack. Whoopi Goldberg sang Ball of Confusion. Lauryn Hill sang His Eyes on the Sparrow, A Deeper Love, Aretha Franklin.
By the way, it only did $57 million at the box office.
Yeah, get over it, Brandon.
Apparently, the VHS sales were massive, though.
The budget was only $38. It was profit. Well, all profit, motherfucker. And Sister Act 3 is coming out. So, joke's on you. Whoopi's got a trilogy in her hands.
I understand
that. When Brandon's a fan of something, he's out of control.
I understand that, but for it. On that panel, they acted like it was Avatar. Like it was the biggest movie or Titanic.
It wasn't that big.
No.
I can't imagine somebody starting a singing career because they saw Whoopi Goldberg singing Ball of Confusion.
Whoopi Goldberg, too.
The hell is that?
Well, that performance was a little different than the other stuff that he's got on the internet. Rio from Detroit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's got a couple other songs that are on here. One of them's called Vicodin. This is the one that always pops up.
Is he going to be canceled because of his Jackson? Social media?
Wait, no, Jackson had Dilaudid.
Demerol.
Baby, come, make me numb, all of my body to the tip of my thumbs.
This is real?
You a drug to me. I'm loving the way you loving me. Baby, come, make me numb.
He doesn't look like LeBron so much anymore.
Let me see.
Oh, no, I guess he does. He kind of still looks like LeBron. You
love me. Wait, he's got videos?
Yeah. Are you saying he shouldn't be allowed to be on The Voice?
I was kind of wondering. I mean, he doesn't have a record deal, obviously, right?
No.
Okay.
This is Bank Rose Productions.
That dude.
For Urban Outrage.
That dude can sing.
Yeah.
So, we'll keep an eye on him.
What about G Cash? Who's that other guy that did?
G-Mac Cash?
G-Mac Cash, yeah.
He's got a new song about potholes.
Really?
It's G-Mac Cash.
Hell yeah, I love G-Mac.
Oh, this guy? I think I know who this is. He did the Gretchen song, right?
Yeah, and he also did the Strike song.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta come fix this shit, man.
Oh, well, stop playing with these niggas.
Oh, potholes?
Wait.
Is that what he's singing about?
Is there an N-word in there?
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. He's an outside biggest pothole.
Man, I just hit another pothole, bitch. Man, can the city fix a pothole? I just bought another tire cause a pothole. Man, I'm getting tired of these potholes. Man, I just hit another pothole, bitch. Man, can the city fix a pothole? I just got another tire cause a pothole.
I'm sorry, this is not new.
Man, I'm getting tired of these potholes.
That's awesome, man.
I love it, though. Last year, but somebody recently sent it to me.
It's new to me.
I'm just kind of surprised you'd get the N-word in a song about potholes.
I love it, though. I just hit another pothole, bitch.
We going on strike, for real. We going on strike, for real. Till they get this shit right,
bitch.
It reminds me of the little Pumps, his endorsement of Trump.
Oh, yeah. Now,
that was not really the way I hear most endorsements go, but I mean, it's sort of in his brand. Not to endorse Trump, but...
What exactly did he say?
Well, Brandon, you got it, don't you?
I just saw that he
did. The little Pump endorsement.
What I gotta say is Trump 2020, bitch. Fuck, I look like paying an extra $33 in tax for Biden, bitch ass nigga. Fuck Sleepy Joe, nigga. Trump 2020, bitch. Ah!
An extra $33?
Should be calling Joe Biden the N-word?
Well, yeah, if he wants to charge him another 33% of tax. Does he really understand the thing?
I'm not sure that he does understand it exactly.
I don't really know who Lil Pump is, but still, I don't think he should be calling Joe Biden the N-word.
Yeah, I don't think Joe Biden's been called the N-word before. I think that's
a weird question. Is he black?
Lil Pump?
Yeah.
I believe he is.
Okay.
Because there was some outrage.
Oh, okay.
Although anybody can get outraged for saying they're voting for Trump.
I don't see color, but he didn't look black to me.
He's, yeah, I understand what you're saying. So we got the reboot of Saved by the Bell, which that's going to just bomb.
Breaking news, Lil Pump is Hispanic.
Oh, he is?
He was born...
He shouldn't be calling anybody the N-word.
His birth name is Gazzy Garcia.
Okay, it's all coming back to me. Charles covered this with Harvey on TMZ.
It's okay.
And they played it, and Charles pointed out that he uses the N-word, and he is not black, and says that this has been, you know, something's been discussed because he's been someone who uses the N-word so regularly that a lot of people don't even talk about it anymore.
Oh, well, that's a
so he said
move.
That it might be kind of okay because he's just been doing it so long that it's no big deal. Maybe he's grandfathered or something.
He's only been arrested 4 times that I can see. I mean, all of them were in 2018, so he's really turned
that's
over
probably
newly.
Why he's doing so well. I mean, isn't an arrest the best thing you can have? So anyway, they're doing the reboot of Saved by the Bell, and then I also saw today, somebody sent me the trailer, and I don't want to watch it, for the movie Valley Girl, which is being remade.
Why?
And actually, well, that's sort of what I said, because I love the original. It's from 1983. Nick Cage is this like new waver punker who is just, you know, out of the mainstream, and he's going for this cute blonde girl who's like a cheerleader type. Mm-hmm. And her friends are like, but he's crazy. He's like a punk. He's like a punk rocker or something. And so there's this sort of clash of cultures. I mean, you could play I guess the trailer's kind of interesting. It gives you a little feel for it.
Except did you watch this movie?
I love the old movie. I know. I just saw the trailer for this movie. It had a fantastic soundtrack.
It's just me and you.
Yeah, I seem to be using a lot of go-go's in the new one.
Hey, come on. Just tell me what happened tonight.
Zach and I broke up.
Oh, my God.
But she met the,
no,
she
don't,
met the punk
don't,
rocker.
Don't do any of that.
Wait, is that
no
Alicia Silverstone?
Yep. You'd be surprised. I'll tell you a story.
The one who bathes her kid until he comes.
Wait, that's not the Go-Go's, is it?
Stop. You were singing and dancing on a fountain.
That's how I remember it. Go-Go music really makes a sound. Where should we go now? I go over the hill to Hollywood.
Yeah, punk rock boyfriend in trouble. Parties look good. Oh. See, he's not dressed up.
Here.
Where would you want to go?
Anywhere.
See, he's a punk rocker.
My God, this looks so terrible.
Anything.
Nick Cage is much better.
He's bad news. You don't date guys like that. Maybe that's good for a change.
Are you
doing this? Those rich people are gonna hate you.
Okay, so I guess they made this a musical.
There's this fashion college.
Where is it?
New York City.
You're not moving across the country with the guy we've never met. You have this shiny, bright, perfect life. I don't know how to fit into this.
Where he punches out the guy in the Izod shirt. Uh-huh.
Everything my friends thought about you, you just proved them right.
Why do you even care what they think?
She doesn't understand him.
Well, they're from different worlds.
They are. No, the different worlds collide.
I would like to point out, by the way, on the soundtrack, all the songs are sung by the people in the movie.
Oh, God.
So it's Did you notice the guy who's getting punched out? You know who that is?
No.
It's Logan Paul. He's a fucking movie star now. Great.
Sweet. Oh, well,
I don't know how to fit into this.
He doesn't know how to fit in. What a problem. Because she fits in. Oh, Logan Paul's
everything
the ex-boyfriend.
My friends thought about you, you just proved them right.
Why do you even care what they think?
Nobody understands. Look how happy she is with him, even though he's from a different world.
Oh, that's cool. The fun dance sequences on the pier and in the house party.
Yeah, they turned it into Glee.
Why does everyone start dancing on the pier? Because there's no music.
You're going to love this movie, Drew.
Yeah, they turned it into Glee. That's all this is, Glee.
They can't take me away from the original and Nick Cage's performance, which was outstanding. Also, the girl from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Dolly.
Yeah, E.G. Daly.
Yeah, she's in it. She's great. I think she showed tits. What's your big?
Not in this.
No, in the original.
Oh. She's in this movie. She's in this one, too.
No, she's not.
I swear to God, I just read it, yeah.
Okay, well, they won't in this one.
I also read that the film was delayed due to the controversy surrounding Logan Paul.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. And it was going to be released in theaters, but because of COVID, it was just video on demand.
I thought maybe it was delayed because the collision of the two worlds was so intense that they couldn't quite get it on film.
Guess who wrote the story?
Who wrote it?
Andrew Lane.
Really?
Yeah, American film producer and director.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
I bet he gets pissed when he goes online and it's all about me.
He co-produced the original Valley Girl, too.
What kind of a wiener name is that?
What? How old is this? How old is this guy?
He's an assistant professor at Chapman University in Orange County.
Huh. He's probably the most famous Drew Lane I know.
Why don't we Google each one and see what happens? This is the movie I was talking about because I love the Plimsolls songs in it. It's got A Million Miles Away, which is just a great new wave song. Great new wave song. And Zero Hour, which is another great new wave song with a very memorable drum opening. We should tell, what's our top 10 music guy's name? Rick Beato.
Oh, yeah.
Rick Beato Waffo. And we interviewed the lead singer and the songwriter for the Plimsolls. Maz got him like the next day, Peter Case. Good guy. Really good songwriter. He's written for a lot of people. Yeah, this song is a great song. It shows up on some of the new wave best of song albums. They show him on stage during the movie in one of the clubs.
This was also in Speed.
A million miles away. There's nothing that can bring me back today. Because I'm a million miles away.
Well, if we can only run 500 miles. See, he's a
million.
He's a million miles away and he gives up. But the Proclaimers would do anything to get back.
That's true. 500 miles. That Plimsolls were a great band. Can you play the beginning of Zero Hour?
If I can find it.
Thompson Twins are on the soundtrack, the original Culture Club. Jane Weidlin and Sparks, Cool Places. The Jam, A Town Called Malice. That's a great song. Killer Pussy has a song on here. Sparks has another song. Tony Basil, Mickey. But the Plimsolls were on stage in the movie. And they played big portions of Zero Hour and A Million Miles Away. I don't know why this band wasn't bigger.
Maybe because of their production sound.
What the hell is that?
Oh, it sounds terrible. Let me try this version, Brandon. Maybe it's a live version.
Bells are ringing out, it's getting late. Train's pulling out, there's no time to waste. Now you better move fast.
Sounds like Elvis Costello.
Yeah, you better move fast.
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
Steam for your ticket and on your shoes.
They have a lefty bass player too, which is always cool. How often do you see a lefty bass player?
Very rare, besides Paul.
Paul McCartney, yeah.
the light shining, get out of that bed.
Sounds pretty good live, I gotta say. They played all the clubs, you know, all the Whiskey a Go Go's and LA band.
It's time to look at what you've done. It's time to finish what you've begun. Now you better move fast. Yeah, you better move fast. Get late now, it's time to go.
I don't know if I can watch a. A musical version of Valley Girls.
No.
But it just shows what a winner the original movie was. let's see.
But I will say this. I was looking at its Rotten Tomatoes. I can't remember, but I think it was like 55 bad from the critics. But the people that watched it loved it. So.
Yeah, I think it was one of those movies.
87, so give it a chance.
I think it was on...
about the new one.
I don't know about the new one. I don't think it's out yet. But
no, it is. It was out May 8th.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was supposed to be in theaters, but they just did it direct to video because of COVID.
What are the Rotten Tomatoes for that?
That's what I was saying. I think it was
was the Rotten Tomatoes?
Five from critics and like an 87 from the people.
What'd the original do?
That I did not look up.
I would like to see that.
I'm looking it up now.
While you're looking, I wanted to mention that I was listening to Comfortably Numb today.
The original for Valley Girl? 83% from the critics,
yes!
72 from the audience.
Oh my God, what's the matter with the audience?
The new one, the audience likes the new one better. 87% liked it, and 55% from the critics.
Total bullshit. Oh. The total's higher for the original. Anyway, Comfortably Numb, we were talking about it yesterday, and that Departed version with Roger Waters and Van Morrison, which I love that version. It's not that I don't like the original. I love the original, and... I know Brandon is on Team Gilmore and wants to be in a kickball game with him really badly and be picked by him. But I wasn't trying to put that down. I really like it. And there's a video online of, was that song in The Sopranos, possibly? Because it was in The Departed. I definitely remember in The Departed,
so
the Van Morrison version.
It was the live version that's in The Departed.
It was.
Yeah, with the band.
Oh, what?
What it says. It says
that is so weird.
It says the band.
That version's been on a while.
Wait, Roger Waters sang with the band, and then Van Morrison joined them.
Well, the band and Van Morrison. Yeah.
It's just really strange. Yeah. But I love the version, and I do love the original. And gosh, think about Pink Floyd, you know, with Roger Waters wrote so much of that music. And Dave Gilmore, really, when Roger left, they really went on with Roger's music, and they were so huge. I mean, they did so many big, huge tours, and Gilmore wrote music too. Gilmore's a good songwriter, maybe not as good as Roger Waters, but then they had Syd Barrett at the beginning. The beginning, the first couple Pink Floyd albums are really Syd Barrett dominated. I mean, how many bands have had three successful writers like that?
It's Van Halen.
And I love... Comfortably Numb, Wish You Were Here is one of my favorite songs. Have a Cigar, Welcome to the Machine. They have so many songs. And I was looking at the Google Play, or what used to be Google Play's list, you know, where they show you the most streaming song is first, which is Wish You Were Here. Comfortably Numb was second. And I noticed that I like the songs that are more like 16, 18, 19, 20, like Have a Cigar and Welcome to the Machine and a couple others, because... they play the same ones on the radio all the time, like Money. And that's a great song, but I never hear Welcome to the Machine or Have a Cigar. And so I love those songs because they're not burned out on me. And then also the other one is the Hawk song, Keep Talking.
Oh, yeah.
The great underrated Floyd track, which is from Division Bell, which we did a promotion for Division Bell where they had a... they had a blimp, and Mike went up on the blimp. And he was so pumped. Oh, my God, he had such a great time. And when they did this live and Hawk came out and did wheelies while he did his part, that was so awesome.
He was just there for the groupies.
I had so many groupies from that song.
I'm sure he did. I bet there's a lot of gyrating around 1993. Check out Hawk's part. It is awesome. It's the first voice you hear in the song.
I wonder how many takes.
I stole some bitches from Roger Waters.
I wonder how many takes Hawk had in the studio.
One take Hawk.
Hashtag Team Gilmore.
Keep talking. How about start talking, Hawk? Let's go.
What's got to have a Floyd
here I come.
Yeah, his part is so awesome.
I sounded a bit different then.
That's true. He did. I'm not sure which sound I like better.
For millions of years, mankind lived just like the animals.
It's really low in the mix.
And something happened which unleashed the power of our imagination. We weren't the talk.
I did that shit in one take.
You should be mad about how low he is in the mix.
He should be. I agree. But it's a great song.
I remember this. This is the album that had the blinking light.
Thanks.
On it.
Yes, it is.
And it blinked in the Riff studio for years.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. I can't. You know, I was watching the video for Keep Talking, the Hawk song, and they had a lot of stuff. They had a lot of videos and pictures of Hawk in there. And some written stuff, too. And I cannot get over the fact that this guy got ALS when he was 23, and he lived to 76?
Right.
With ALS, got all those chicks, nailed that nurse, got her away from the doctor she was married to, because Hawk was so hot. Was being in the chair hotter? Did that make him hotter for chicks?
Hawk was hung.
We know Hawk was hung. You just know that. But between him living to 76 and Steve Gleason, you know, watching that documentary, it's like, God, you see it. You go, I can't believe.
It's an amazing documentary.
How does anyone complain about anything after you see people living that
Hunter
way?
Hunter Biden has a tiny penis compared to me.
That Steve Gleason doc is just incredible. You can't not think about it after you watch it.
Very, very sad. By the way, his chair is pretty sweet because he actually gets to use his real voice. Sorry, Hawk.
Oh, Gleason, yeah, they recorded him saying all those things.
Different
before
words.
His voice.
it's kind of cool. He sounds like him, you know, like he sounded.
The thing about it is, I cannot imagine. I mean, just to think about this. Okay. Pretty soon, you're not going to be able to talk because your muscles aren't going to work, and you're not going to be able to walk. You're not going to be able to do anything. But we're gonna record you saying these words while you still can, which is much longer, so that we can use your real voice. I mean, doesn't it seem like, oh, wow, thank you. Yeah. That's great. I would think I'd be like, oh, fuck it. I don't give a shit.
I think you give a shit.
Don't be so negative.
Remember,
I'm sorry, Hawk.
Because he had that kid.
Yeah.
So,
boy, there were some scenes in that movie that were so hard to watch.
Is that the movie where he interviewed Pearl Jam?
Yes.
Or is that okay?
Yes.
Is that separate? Yeah.
And you know, that was really cool too, because you could tell he was having a great time, and it was something that he probably wouldn't have gotten to do, and he just really had a good time. I mean, it's just like, wow, that's really cool that a guy in this position.
I was a freshman in high school in 91.
Seahawk, so that's his computer.
I feel like I was just outside the epicenter of the Seattle music scene. The music you
I
guys
paved
have
the way.
Including Soundgarden, has plastered the wall of my adolescent and adult life. It's really
long
been
question.
A soundtrack of my life. In 2000, I was an undrafted free agent in Indianapolis, with the Colts, fighting for a spot on the roster. It was my first time away from home.
I didn't ask for your life story!
I want the fact. How many chicks have you nailed, Ed?
Got released
how many chicks have
I
you nailed, Ed?
I got to escape some pressure to put my headphones on and digest.
Yeah, anyway, it was really cool. I really enjoyed that. And I'm so glad that he was able to record his voice so we could hear all that. But anyway, so you know what? Going back to the beginning of the show, I was expressing my disbelief at this Washington Post story. And I know I've been misunderstood about this because I talked about Hunter Biden, and from the beginning I tried to express that it was the media response to this story that that I thought was horrible because certain people were all in on it and some people were too far in on it. And then other people were Biden's defense attorneys. And they, you know, like NPR said, we will not cover this story. It is we won't waste your time. We won't distract you with bullshit, you know. And I just thought that's such an incredible thing. A news operation. Well, you don't know where the story's going. How could you declare something like that? But this to me is the ultimate, the absolute ultimate in media bias, because first of all, it's so dumb. It's like, why would anybody be this concerned about this story? It's about Joe Biden flubbing and saying George when he meant to say Trump. And I don't know why. It's not even that big a deal. I mean, he did the same thing. I guess a couple weeks ago, he couldn't think of Mitt Romney's name. Do we have audio of that, Brandon?
We played it yesterday. The audio is not the
good. If you may remember, got in trouble when we were running against the senator who was a Mormon, the governor, okay? And I took him on.
Forgot his name. He couldn't think of his name. Happens.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal. He's 77 years old, soon to be 78. So, yeah, I would expect him to do stuff like that. This thing with George, why don't you just play it, just to illustrate the point.
What kind of country we're going to be? Four more years of George, is going to find ourselves in a position where if Trump gets elected, we're going to be in a different world. Four more years of George, is going to find.
Okay, he flubbed it. He screwed it up, and then he. And I don't know if she said that or not, but the Washington Post insists that she was pursing her lips and she wasn't saying anything. Now, how they know that, I don't know. But they have this thing called the fact checker in the Washington Post, and they actually put this in the fact checker. And I don't know how you can put it in there because you don't know. We don't know what was in Joe Biden's head, so we can't know. But what we do know is he said, four more years of George. And it wasn't like he was fumbling. He just spit it right out. Four more years of George, and then, you know, it's very awkward and weird. But he clearly didn't mean four more years of George anybody, whether it was George Lopez, who was the moderator, or George Bush. I don't think it's even a big deal. In fact, I thought they made it a much bigger deal, and they showed their ass by putting in this fact checker thing. And they Brandon read a little bit of it yesterday, and I saw it today, and I was like, what? Because they had an update on it. Most things that appear to be too good to be true are just that. As my Washington Post colleague David Weigel pointed out, this was no exception. The moderators were removed from the screen, so viewers have no idea that Biden could have been referring to George Lopez, the moderator, who asked the question. Well, he's referring to George Lopez, and he says, four more years of George Lopez. Well, what does that mean? I think that's a worse flub. I mean, replacing Trump with George Bush, who is a Republican, it's a flub, but no big deal. To say four more years of George Lopez sounds like a bigger flub. He was addressing George Lopez, the interviewer. No, he wasn't addressing him. He wasn't even talking. I mean, he was talking to him and to all of us, but he wasn't saying, four more years of George Lopez, I'm talking to you. He was saying, four more years of George. I mean, I don't think, is there any question when you listen to it that he was saying four more years of George?
No, I mean, that's what he said. It is weird, though. Why did they cut out the other part of the video?
Probably because, well, I don't know why they cut out the other part of the video, but I don't think it matters. I think you can hear it with no video.
Sure.
And they could put on the screen, he's talking to George Lopez. It still doesn't make sense to say four more years of George.
Four more years of George.
He's flubbing. He's lost. Yeah. And you know, so what? Anyway, continuing. He was addressing George Lopez, the interviewer, as is a common practice, Biden spokesperson Andrew Bates said. That is, unless, like Donald Trump, you blow a gasket and storm out because you can't stomach being fact-checked. Well, I don't think Trump has anything to do with what he said or didn't say, but, no. You know, he's just taking a shot at him. Republican National Committee Rapid Response Director Steve Guest tweeted what he wrongly thought to be the stuff of opposition researchers' dreams. The snippet from Biden's October 25th I Will Vote concert seemed to be evidence of a nasty theory the Trump campaign has been pushing for months. Joe Biden is senile. Trump tweeted, Joe Biden called me George yesterday. The fake news cartel is working overtime to cover it up. Guest defended his clip job without apology. He sent the fact checker this statement. Which explanation makes sense? That Biden was expressing concern for four more years of George Lopez as president? Or does it make sense that the same Joe Biden who couldn't remember Mitt Romney's name or the office he is running for couldn't make out? What does that mean? He couldn't. Wait, he couldn't remember the office he's running for? What is he? I don't know what he's talking about.
He got that flub where he's talking about being, instead of being the senator, talking about running for senator.
Oh, he said he was running for senator?
He said he was running for senator, yeah.
Is that in dispute, too?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure it is.
I don't think I ever heard that.
Everything seems to be.
Okay, so does it make more sense that the same Joe Biden who couldn't remember?
You know, we have to come together. That's why I'm running. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate.
Maybe he's interviewed by somebody named Senate. That would make sense either, though.
Proud Democrat from the Senate? I don't know.
Or does it make sense that the same Joe Biden...
Who fucking knows?
Who couldn't remember Mitt Romney's name or the office he's running for mistakenly referred to a former president? That's the Trump guy. After we contacted... Okay, the Today Show is one of the only places that reported this. The Today Show, the Daily Mail... What's that?
Inside Edition did.
Inside Edition, the Daily Mail, and the Today Show are the only three people that reported that, which I thought was... That's a very small group of people to even pick up the story. I never even saw the Mitt Romney or the Senate thing, so I don't think they were heavily reported. But they, this is so funny that the Washington Post feels they must contact the Today Show to say that George Lopez was the interviewer. He was referring to George Lopez when he said four more years of George. Mm-hmm. So I still have no idea why they think that makes sense. So then they say, after we contacted the Today Show about the issue, the show added an editor's note to its report acknowledging the fact that Biden was talking with George Lopez was relevant and helpful context that should have been included in our original report. I'm not sure why that would be helpful context. I mean, it tells you they could have confused Trump for George Lopez. The Trump campaign and the RNC, as we have documented, are eager purveyors of misleading and out-of-context clips. They earn lots of clicks, but it's pretty childish behavior. After all, Trump makes plenty of slips, too. Just ask his former national security advisor, Michael Bolton. What's that have to do with this flub? I mean, nobody's arguing about
it. Nothing.
He said Michael Bolton. Remember when he said, you know, shake, and...
I don't remember the Bolton one.
I do remember it. I don't think it was a...
Because that's not his name.
Big deal.
God bless the United States.
No one's ever allowed to make a mistake.
I never heard John Bolton be called Michael Bolton, but
guest
eliminated. I would have laughed if I had heard it.
Well, but they want to point it out here. I mean, they seem to be saying that Trump flubs, but Joe Biden actually doesn't because he was referring to George Lopez. Guest eliminated key context by removing the most obvious George Lopez, that Biden could have been referring to as the president for 4 years. That doesn't make any fucking sense. And then they go on to say that Guest, the guy again who tweeted, earns four Pinocchios. What? Honest to God, I just can't. That is just the craziest. Why would they go to all that trouble?
They want Biden to win, clearly.
Well, you would think that. I mean, to spend that much time, I mean, it's a long article. Putting down this guy that tweeted it, and honestly, it's a stupid thing to tweet out. He flubbed a name. So what? It's not a big deal. But why is the Washington Post making such a big deal saying he didn't flub?
Because they want to protect him.
It seems that way.
We know that the Post has already endorsed Biden. So yeah, it's no big.
Well, what's interesting surprise. Was this. You know, this. They're very. Guarded against, you know, Trump making this outrageous claim that Biden has dementia or that Biden is cognitively declining. Mm-hmm. And the defense seems to be just based on a few things I read. In their defense of Biden, that is, before and now, they repeat the mantra
that it's entirely unfair for someone who is not Joe Biden's doctor to say anything about his mental status or dementia, which, you know, I think generally people agree that it's kind of silly to speculate on something if you're not someone's doctor. I mean, people do it all the time.
Yeah.
But when I read that,
after all,
I thought,
doesn't Barron have autism, according to Rosie O'Donnell?
Yes. Yeah, because the way he claps, which, you know, was so shitty.
Brandon Fraser.
And that was a shitty thing to say, you know, about a, clearly. He was 12 years old or 10 years old at the time. But so, you know, after seeing all this business about, you know, how absolutely unfair it is to speculate on someone's dementia or mental decline when you're not his doctor, I just, because I thought, I was like, didn't people write about Trump having dementia at one point?
Sure.
And this is not a defense of Trump. This is just, I'm just trying to figure out how ridiculous this reporting is.
I don't know why they would question it. He had that really cool doctor with the long hair that wrote that note about being the greatest shape of any president ever.
Oh, yeah. Well, he got, and that guy got plenty made fun of, too.
Yeah.
Let's see. And so anyway, I looked up Dementia Washington Post, and, you know, all kinds of things pop up. And Dementia New York Times, all kinds of things pop up where they're talking about Trump having dementia. And many, many other publications. So I picked this one Washington Post thing. Just actually there, I think I've combined a couple. Trump isn't losing it. He never had it. Trump having a bad mouth is nothing new. Or Trump having a bad month is nothing new. Nor are the claims of cognitive decline, which have been around as long as his presidency. Omarosa Manigault Newman says the White House staff has kept his deteriorating mental status a secret. They continue to deceive the nation about how mentally declined he is. They go on to cite New York Times articles and opinion quotes about Trump's cognitive decline. Then December 1, 2017, one of the concerns about President Trump is that he's suffering from early dementia. Exhibit A is the case where he said he invented the term prime the pump. I just came up with it a couple days ago, and I thought it was good. I'm not sure how you explain this any other... I'm not sure. Then they leave the quote. I'm not sure how you explain this any other way than dementia. Everyone knows prime the pump is a common phrase.
Yeah, but he created this word.
Really, the word, I think one of the greatest of all terms I've come up with is fake. I guess other people have used it perhaps over the years, but I've never noticed it.
Oh, boy. So,
1 week left, baby.
I know. I just, you know, and
until
I want
the Civil War.
I want to be clear about the Hunter Biden story. I don't understand why it is covered so differently by different news sources. It seems to me it's a very interesting story. You don't have to say you can't vote for Joe Biden. It doesn't mean it's worse than anything Trump did and that you can't vote for him because of it. It's out there, and there seem to be few answers to the questions.
I thought it was interesting because you sent me the two opinion pieces, one from the Wall Street Journal, which is about how Biden's family capitalizes on their name, and then you sent me the opinion piece from the Washington Post, which is why they won't write the story. And I said, I think they're both true. I think this family does capitalize on his name to a great extent. And I think the Washington Post, that opinion piece was intriguing in that they said they wanted to look at the hard drive, but nobody will supply it to them.
Well,
which I find kind of intriguing that
why
can't other entities, you know, Fox News famously denied or didn't accept the story because of different reasons.
But isn't that an excuse, really?
Well, why can't Fox News?
They're saying this story doesn't pass journalistic standards. Well, wouldn't this all be so simple if Hunter Biden would say, if he ever went to that repair shop and dropped off a waterlogged computer?
Okay, so what if he says yes and then says...
Then you know it's not Russian disinformation. It's his laptop.
Oh, sure. But then what if he says yes, but those emails weren't on there? Those aren't my emails. No one's going to believe that.
Well, how could you believe that? So the store put emails on there that aren't his?
Well,
with addresses and copies
to
all these people?
This isn't my opinion. I'm just telling you what the counter argument would be. If those
that's not a realistic counter argument. I mean,
those emails are fabricated by whomever,
and he has them on his own computer.
No, they just were fabricated, and they have the computer.
You know, having seen the guy who runs the store, if they wanted that guy to be part of a conspiracy, they so picked the wrong guy. The guy can't see. He said, I don't know if it's Hunter Biden because I can't see. He has the receipt. It's got Hunter Biden's signature on there, which, by the way, could also be verified.
Sure.
So to say Joe Biden says, you know, it's crazy. 50 former intel guys say it's Russian disinformation. Why do you need to talk about 50 former intel guys? Couldn't you ask your son? I mean, wouldn't that be easy to say, are those your emails? The ones you're talking about in the Daily Mail?
I'm sure he did.
Wouldn't that be? Well, then why doesn't he say that he said they aren't his? Instead of quoting 50 former intel guys, it's his son.
Because then you're playing into the whole story from the other side, and it's all a game.
No, it's not. To say that you know it's not true because you talked to your son who's never dropped a laptop off at this place in Delaware? I mean, he has, doesn't he have GPS that could show where he was or wasn't?
I don't think Hunter Biden knows where he is or where he has been in the last year.
Oh, this is crazy. The only way it could have got crazier is
witness.
The only way it could have got crazier is if Righteous Rick found it in a in a storage unit.
Well, that would be awesome.
Look at all the misinformation about that phone and what was on it. Serious? I mean, to a way lesser extent. Remember, people were saying there's child porn on there.
Well, they said that, but
Rick was kind of selling that.
Yeah, in the beginning.
Well, you can sell things in a lot of different manners.
I didn't see the text messages that Rick was even talking about. I saw the pictures. Showed them to me. Saw a few things, but personally,
she wasn't underage, though.
I thought the Wall Street Journal's story about media watchdogs aren't supposed to guard Joe Biden. I thought that was I thought that was a measured piece too. It's like
this is why those echo chambers exist, because people are going to go to whatever they want to hear, wherever they want to hear it.
Well, I didn't want to hear it anywhere. I already thought it. I mean, I have my own brain.
No. I just mean the story, the Joe Biden story or the Hunter Biden story. If you think that's the damning evidence, that's why the Biden family is a corrupt political organization, then you can get that in a lot of places if you want to get that.
Oh, yeah. There's no shortage of, he's done, there have been so many things that have gone on with, you know, whether it's 1,000 houses he built in Iraq and he's not a contractor. That's not in dispute. I don't think the check.
I just think it's weird that everybody's complaining about all this stuff not being out there when it's very accessible and out there.
Which stuff?
Anything is out there.
Well, I think Burisma was out there, but you know, I got to tell you, I didn't really know about Burisma until this year. Did you know about Brandon? Did you know about Burisma before this year?
No, I didn't know what that place was.
I did not.
I still don't even really know what they do.
It's an energy company. I think,
but
bankrupt.
There's a lot
now.
Of energy companies. Are they natural gas? Are they electric? I have no idea.
Well, I never knew that he got $83,000 a month from Burisma. I never knew that. I never knew. The thing about the widow or the wife of the Moscow mayor and the $3.5 million check to Hunter's LLC, I never knew about that until like 2 weeks ago. So
because that came out with the Senate investigation.
But it really
Russia,
wasn't.
Russia, Russia, Russia.
It wasn't that heavily reported. And then honestly, the China stuff. Oh, China. All I knew was that he flew on Air Force 2 to China, and he...
Well, we never believed that they didn't discuss that.
No. Well, I think it was revealed that he did introduce Joe Biden to someone that he did something with, but I think the story was that he never bought equity in the company until 2016 when Joe Biden, or 2017 when Joe Biden was no longer vice president. But it was certainly a strange story, but the email saying that he asked for $10 million a year for 3 years for introductions. That is a very key email that it would be nice if he would explain whether that is or is not true. Tony Bobulinski. Is it Tony Bobulinski? The guy that had the press conference? Who, the equity guy? I think that's his name.
His former business partner?
Yeah, he produced his copy of the email because he got a copy, and he also had a copy of the one where it breaks down the equity. And, of course, the damning thing, and it's not even the part that interests me the most, is, you know, the 10% for the chairman or whatever they call him. Now, he's turned over 3 phones and a computer to the FBI, and, God knows what they're doing with them. But, I mean, I think it's a fascinating story, and it's a sex, drugs, and money story, too. And
that's the fun part, yeah.
I don't think anybody has to decide that I don't think we're believing the story means that Trump never did anything this bad ever. It doesn't mean that at all. It's just another thing that is true, or some of it's true and some of it maybe you won't believe or maybe you will believe. But it's certainly, and for NPR to say that, you know, oh my God, we won't waste your time with this stupid story. I mean, that's incredible. That's especially for a government taxpayer funded
entity. But, you know, NPR is certainly very, NPR isn't afraid to be in love with themselves and what they do and how, you know, impartial they supposedly are. I don't know. I think it's very fascinating, and it'll be interesting to see what happens after the election, because I have a feeling this thing will not be over. I don't know where it's going. And I mean, how you nail Joe Biden to the stake with it, I probably can't. But it still is a, I mean, when a guy who cannot seem to stay on the wagon for long at all is hauling $40 million out of these countries, it's pretty damn interesting. And it'd be nice to know what the number really is. Anyway, why don't you hit the outro? And I will announce two things that I think are pretty interesting, pretty exciting. We have Mike Binder on Thursday. Is it Thursday or tomorrow?
You told me Thursday. This I is thought when you mentioned it earlier, it was breaking news to me.
Okay, hold on. I have it.
I love that series. I think it's really good.
Yes. Oh, tomorrow or Thursday? Mike Binder's going to do it. He's nailing down a day tomorrow or Thursday. So, oh, going to be Thursday. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, he's requested.
Okay, I got it. Mike Binder on the Thursday show, or the Friday show, rather.
That'll be fun.
And then the other announcement is that somebody's coming back to the show on a weekly basis.
Oh, it's breaking news to me, too.
Yes. A deal has been made with somebody's new job and company.
Oh, okay.
To advertise on the show.
Can I have that day off?
Well, that would be 20% of the shows, apparently, in 2021. I believe this will start in December.
Oh, okay.
But we'll have a more formal announcement.
I just want a day off.
You know who it is.
A more formal announcement.
He won't be here the whole day. He'll just have his 10 minutes or whatever, the segment.
Mother effer.
I was joking. But I do want a day off. That I'm not.
He will be forced to prepare for the segment by his new employer. That's what I understand.
Well, if there's one thing I know about that man, he loves listening to his employers.
He does. No, that's true. He is loyal to the core.
New ML show, too, should be dropping as soon as I get the notes.
With Lee Thomas.
I thought Lee was Fox really, 2. Really good. A lot of movie talk. Lee tells us about some of his worst celebrity interviews, which is a lot of fun.
And also Halloween movies and so on and so forth. So we'll see you tomorrow.
Speaking of accidents, Mike witnessed a little accident when he was in high school. When after, I don't know, what were you guys doing, PE class or something?
Yeah, and these two guys, well, the one guy had been held back many, many grades. Oh, I mean, this guy actually looked to be in his early 20s, to be honest with you, at Adams High School. And the other guy was, I think he was a junior at the time. Yeah, and it was PE class, and we were all done for the day, and everybody's in the showers, in the locker room. And this fight starts between, and these guys are nude. Everybody's either nude or half nude as it is.
I think this is the most told story.
This fight started
in the history of the show. By the way, is the two nude guys fighting at Adam's High in front of Mike?
Yeah,
and others
and others. Yeah, let's make that clear. Lots of others. In fact, and when the fight started, everybody was chanting. You know, like yeah. You know, what I mean, everybody was loving it. And this thing was a big fist fight. I mean, it was huge.
Not to mention all the people, guests that we've told the story to also.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know why, but we used to try to make it come up. There was a time when we tried to tell the story to as many people, like Ted Danson. Poor Ted Danson got stuck with his story once.
He did.
Among others.
The fists were flying and bloody nose, the whole bit. And somewhere in the fray, though, toward the end, I mean, the fight was going and going and going, and of course, it starts as the fight goes on with the punches. Of course, at one point, they're embracing. They fall to the ground. They're tumbling around the floor, one trying to get up over the other. And as they're rolling on the ceramic floor, all of a sudden, the one, the junior, actually, not the guy that was held back, the junior, he gets a huge boner. And you talk about bright red. I mean, this thing was glowing. Santa could have replaced Rudolph with this guy's bone.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And the fight immediately stopped. That was it. The
of
whole
course
thing
it
stopped.
Did.
This guy got a boner. everything stopped, and you could hear a pin drop, and it was like almost one big collective, oh, for God's sake. And everyone, the crowd quickly dispersed.
You can't.
That was it. Everybody left. They gathered their belongings and left.
Well, you know,
and
when
from
you
that
think
day
of it,
forward, that kid never heard the end of it. I still remember his name. I can't say it because he might still be out there. You know who you are if you're listening.
Truth is a defense in a libel suit, I will say.
And, oh, he never lived that down, man. I don't know how he held. And from that point on, people called him a homo. Well, really all the way through the rest of junior year, all of senior year.
He's already thought about it today.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody said he had to been a homo.
You too, Lenny. You. Oh! You're going down! Punk!
There it was.
Fight over.
That's it.
Well, in Get Rich...
Immediately, I mean, the fight just boom, stopped like a light switch.
In Get Rich or Die Trying, the 50 Cent movie, we have a nude fight. And it's probably the first nude fight I've ever seen.
Yeah,
in a
ever.
Movie,
because...
Other than the one you told me about... And I may have to watch the audio here, but there
what,
you see the guys.
What movie is this?
Get Rich or Die Trying, the 50 Cent story.
Oh, my God. They're all nude in the shower, all these guys.
Bitch!